Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going.
6:10 in the morning, 720 WGN. Happy Wednesday to you. Happy 60-degree day, Dave Bennett, coming up.
Today, right?
Yeah.
We're going to get close.
I love the picture. I don't know if you tweeted it out or retweeted it, but it was on Channel 9's website as well. It said, opening day for the Cubs, you know, Monday with the snow-covered field. And then yesterday, April 10th, beautiful sunny skies. They lost, but...
But still a little cool.
Yes.
But today should be a little nicer.
Yeah.
And then, what, 70 on Friday?
Yeah, and then it goes back to 40 by Sunday.
Yeah, well,
so, I know.
Hey,
I know.
Chicago.
Here we go. Well, let's get started with the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Well, our top item today, I assume most of us have not shut down our Facebook accounts. Mark Zuckerberg, day two on Capitol Hill in front of the Senate committee hearing. Steve, the headline this morning on CNN said Mark Zuckerberg emerged unscathed from the hearing, mainly because senators who asked him questions had no clue how Facebook worked.
Yeah, I don't know. I watched a big chunk of it yesterday. I don't think he emerged unscathed. I think he had some pretty tough questions, and he certainly looked like he was not happy there. So I don't know that he would say that, but there were some softball questions.
Yeah.
But
the Patrick Leahy testimony I found a little interesting, too. That exchange with Leahy, I'm thinking, okay, just do a quick Google search on Facebook.
Right.
Just know what the privacy settings are. Just know the basics.
Yeah, and then the Kennedy, he said, you know, basically your terms of service suck.
Right.
Is what he said to him.
Right.
Which is true. And then, you know, Dick Durbin had some pretty good questions, too, about it. He said, so where did you, what was your hotel that you stayed at last night?
That was great.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Who have you messaged this week? And you share those with us. And it's sort of right. I mean, he didn't want to share any of that information, but that's exactly what has been breached on Facebook. So.
Very, very true. First class action lawsuit is expected to be filed, too. But Mary Sandberg had a great point. Nobody's really shutting down their Facebook accounts because of this. At least nobody that I know of.
Well, I think globally it is down. There was a survey, I think, yesterday ahead of this testimony that said about 14% of folks had shut down their Facebook accounts in the last month alone.
There you go.
That's a big chunk, 14%.
It is. It is. It is. It absolutely is. And Zuckerberg owned it. And we'll see what happens now, day two. Yesterday. All right, number two. Thank you, Joe. Let's see. Illinois senators advancing a plan requiring public schools to teach a unit on the role and social contributions of gays, lesbians, and other LGBTQ individuals. Now, if enacted, Illinois would become the second state to approve an LGBT inclusive curriculum, and this comes on LGBTQ Advocacy Day today. So it's to push for an inclusive curriculum bill. It would basically teach about the prominent gay and lesbian activists and in history. So I think it's probably a good thing for schools to have that in our history.
It's all about being inclusive.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. So that will be enacted then. All right. Harvey Police. Very, very, very difficult story. Marcella Raymond covered this yesterday for Channel 9. 18 firefighters laid off in Harvey because of financial issues. This was a pension issue. And they had this emergency meeting last night, Dave, to talk about the financial crisis. There's also 13 non-police personnel that have been laid off. Harvey, notorious for high crime rates and whatnot. So this cannot be a good thing for the village to lay off their police and firefighters. So the mayor Petitioners filed an emergency motion to try to block this. Unfortunately, the circuit court judge hearing the case denied their emergency motion, and he ordered Susana Mendoza to stop withholding revenues that the city gets from the state. Interesting fact, since February, the controller's office has withheld more than $1.4 million in city sales, income, local use, transportation, replacement, and other tax revenues at the request of the Harvey Police Pension Fund so they could get their pensions, but it's not going to happen anymore, so they're going to be struggling for quite a while. Let's see. Oh, we'll save this one for last, Dave. This is a good one for you.
Okay.
All right, it's about Sister Jean. How about that for a tease? Let's see. Number five, more than 100 people killed in the Algerian military plane crash. This was a military plane crash that crashed in northern Algeria soon after takeoff. The cause of the crash, unclear. An investigation is underway. It was a Russian-designed 76 military transport plane carrying soldiers, and the defense ministry expressing condolences to the victims' families.
They're now saying 181 have been killed.
Yeah, actually, we just got from ABC News, 257 is
but there are survivors. Drivers too, aren't there?
There are some. According to the report, they are badly injured with burns.
Flight had just taken off. This was about 20 miles southwest of Algiers when it crashed, and it was heading for another military base in the southwest portion of the country. So a terrible, terrible story there. Next, let's see. 42 years after founding one of the nation's most influential evangelical megachurches, the Reverend Bill Hybels told his congregation last night that he is going to step down from the helm of the Willow Creek Community Church 6 months ahead of schedule. Another interesting story. My goodness. His departure comes less than a month. Remember, after that Tribune investigation disclosed that he had been the subject of a bunch of inquiries by church leaders into claims that he ran afoul of church teachings by engaging in, we'll just call it, inappropriate behavior with women in his congregation. However, he was cleared of many of these charges. Still says that he's going to step down and he will not lead the church's Global Leadership Summit. That's the annual event that they hold in the summertime. All right, we'll end on a good one, Dave. Opening day at Wrigley yesterday. Except for the outcome, right. Honorary guest, though, Sister Jean.
Sister Jean, her omnipresence continues as the Cubs honored Loyola on opening day at home, and they had the Ramblers on hand. Porter Moser, the coach, some players led the seventh inning stretch, but Sister Jean throughout the first pitch.
How was that?
And
did she make it across the plate?
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was great. I mean,
she's very close to the plate.
Yeah, and here's what she had to say.
I think it's great that the city is recognizing us, and everybody's recognizing us. I've had mail from so many places. People I taught 60 years ago in California.
How cool is that?
I love Sister Jean. I'm getting mail from all over the world. I'm sure she is.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. I have no doubt.
She's like Santa Claus. They're bringing in the mail sacks.
I am a little confused, though, why the Cubs didn't win with Sister Jean there.
Right? I know. You had divine intervention and everything. All set to go on the field.
Javi Baez comes up in the eighth. Two men on. Tying run at the plate. He's already hit two out of the park. Just didn't happen.
Did she leave early?
I don't.
That might be what happened.
I don't know.
We need her there for the whole game.
We need her on the south side now.
So she didn't hug the players at the end.
I think the nuns only have so much divine gas that they can use to pray.
Is that right, Steve? She used it up in the NCAA?
It's in the form of gas?
Hypothetical gas.
Oh, fuel, I should say.
Fuel.
Thank you.
Sorry about
that.
Sister Jean.
We'll try again today. Now, next letter you're going to get is going to be from Sister Jean, Steve.
I'm already doing penance. I apologize.
There you go. Three Hail Marys. Top six brought to you by American Weather Makers, the Heating and Cooling, and the 60 Minute Men.
That's all today for the Top Six at Six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weather Makers, Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I got a new girlfriend. Feels like he's on top. And I don't feel no remorse. You can't see past my blind.
6:22 in the morning, 720 WGN. It's the Steve Cochran Show. I think, Dave, most of our dads were in the military. My dad was Army. Your dad?
My dad was in the Air Force.
Yeah. Mary, your dad served too?
Yes, he did.
And Grisanis, your dad did too?
My dad was in the Army, yep.
Yeah, very cool.
The Air Corps, they called it.
Ah, okay. So the Honor Flight is taking off again this morning from Midway. Mary, you went on the Honor Flight with your dad last year or the year before?
Oh, no. That was, oh, boy. I'm saying 5 years ago.
Oh, was that long ago?
Yeah,
wow.
It was quite a while ago. Yeah, it was unbelievable. And this is April. So is this their first flight? It would be.
This is the first one
of the year.
Today, right. So it's World War II and Korean War veterans now. Used to just be, I believe, World War II. And now the Korean War vets can go on the Honor Flight as well. They're going to D.C. for the first Honor Flight of the season. And it's just such a wonderful experience.
It's a phenomenal day. It's a long day for them, but, oh, it is so well worth it. And they are so need to be so honored. It's
Army,
great.
Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, and Merchant Marines all will travel to Washington, D.C. to visit the National Memorial.
How many flights are there, Mayor? Is it once a month?
It's once a month. I think they go all the way until October, I want to say.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's April through October. Not positive on that.
And,
but.
And this week is the cherry blossoms in Washington, too.
Oh, so that's
good.
Right.
It's a good time to go.
You know, I went out
there, snowing there
with a former...
yeah, probably
yeah,
snowing,
right?
Yeah.
I went out there with a former producer, Katie Steele, at your suggestion. This is maybe 10, 15 years ago, Dave. You said you got to check out the cherry blossoms. I thought, oh, okay, that'll be kind of cool. But it's neat to just go. I hadn't been to D.C. since my 8th grade class trip to go and see all the memorials. And
well, there are a bunch of new memorials, too. I mean, there's the FDR Memorial, which probably wasn't, I don't know if that was there 15 years ago.
The Vietnam Wall.
The Vietnam Wall has been there for a while now.
And didn't they make
the Korean one? They made
a change, or they made an addition to the Vietnam War Memorial, I heard, which I have not seen. And it's a soldier. You know, they have the statue, the cast iron statues of the soldiers, mm-hmm. And the servicemen and the airmen. The soldier's walking into the wall. That's something that
yes.
they just added. And
yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, fantastic.
Just to see the pictures of that. It's so moving.
And the Korean War one is so phenomenal with the soldiers, the figurines of them standing in the marsh. And it's just, it just gives you the creeps as you walk through it.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
If you want information, it's honorflightchicago.org. We've had Mary Petterino on before. She is just a miracle worker to take. Imagine planning an event or planning anything, a wedding, what it would be, a trip. She plans this. I know she has a staff, but really spearheads everything and make sure every person who goes on this trip has a guide and someone with them, places to use the bathroom, right, Mary? Places
oh, yeah.
to eat.
They call them their guardians, and
yeah.
you have at least one or two that you take care of on the plane, and then they have people greeting them and at the airport as well when they get there.
Everything is set up for you, and it's just a wonderful experience. You can apply online right at honorflightchicago.org. So we'll have the headlines and the sports and the weather coming up after this, 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran, 638. As you wake up this morning, things have gotten very ugly between Russia and the United States. And, of course, we found out about this in 2018 on Twitter. Last night on Lebanese television, a Russian ambassador there said any missiles, essentially any retaliation that the United States takes on Syria for the chemical gas attack of a few days ago, those missiles will be shot down. And he made it very clear that that was directly from Vladimir Putin. President Trump this morning says, this is about 40 minutes ago, Russia vows to shoot down any and all missiles fired at Syria. Get ready, Russia, because they will be coming. Nice and new and smart. You shouldn't be partners with a gas-killing animal who kills his people and enjoys it. I don't disagree with the last part at all. What I am concerned about is what's the plan? What's the plan? Because when you start threatening Russia, and Russia's threatening us, you're talking about people's lives on the ground, and of course, American men and women who are serving. So I certainly hope that General Mattis was ahead of this tweet and that there was some meeting that led to a plan, because where do we go from here? This is why words matter, and this is what's super scary about all of it. So we'll watch it. We'll watch it all morning long. The president, who has been tougher on Russia in the last 3 days, and he's been in the first year and a half on the job, tweeted about a minute ago, our relationship with Russia is worse now than it's ever been, and that includes the Cold War. There's no reason for this. Russia needs us to help with their economy, something that could be easy to do, and we need all nations to work together. Stop the arms race?
Not quite sure what the last sentence means, other than if that's an offer. You can't do this by Twitter. Mm-hmm. You need to do this by diplomacy, and that means face-to-face, in written word between leaders, and not in the public Twitter space. But at this time, you ought to be able to suck it up and get behind President Trump. But he needs to speak. You know, frankly, he needs to speak to the country. He needs to speak to the country today and tell us why we shouldn't be deeply concerned that we're now in the middle of some sort of back and forth threat with Russia. With that happy note, at 6:41, there are other things to discuss. Let's do the law.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Karen Conti's here. Follow that. How are you?
Good. As you were speaking about this, Steve, I was thinking about Ronald Reagan. And what if we had Twitter back then? What would Ronald Reagan's tweets look like?
Well, they'd all start with, well, dot, dot, dot. Yeah, you know, if Twitter existed all the way back to the beginning of this great nation, it'd be great to read, wouldn't it? Just great.
It sure would.
Millard Fillmore's tweets.
Tweets, that's right.
All right, so I got a couple of Michael Cohen questions. Michael Cohen came out, this is the president's attorney, Michael Cohen came out yesterday and said the FBI was courteous and kind, maybe not kind, but courteous and professional when they entered and searched his hotel room where he's staying while his house apparently is being redone, and also his offices. Is that a good strategy? In other words, when the FBI raids my personal property, should I be nice to them?
Well, sure you should. And generally speaking, the FBI does their job professionally.
Sure.
You know, I've done criminal defense work, and they've been my enemy, you know, for my clients in some cases. But they have always, they are very professional. They have regulations and rules, and they follow them. And there's no need, because they have power. There's no need to overstep. And especially when you're dealing with a fellow attorney, these FBI agents are almost all attorneys, and there's some camaraderie there and some connection. So, yeah, clearly, I'm sure the job was done professionally. I'm sure Cohen did not put up any fight, and it was done as quickly as it could be possibly done.
Karen, if this ever, God forbid, happens to any of us, which
well, let's say me.
Don't
let's say me.
Even though
I have good friends at the FBI, let's say I'm going to be
exactly.
ready.
Hypothetically, can Steve Cochran say, hey, you can't take that. That's my medical records. Or is there anything that's exempt from that? Is there anything that, hypothetically, Steve Cochran wouldn't have to turn over?
No. At that point, when there's a warrant, they go in and get what they want, and they'll call it out later. Now, in this case, because of the attorney-client privilege issue, which is what everyone's barking about, and I guess I should just say, attorney-client privilege is limited. It's only what I say to my client, what my client says to you. So, Steve, if I'm representing you, if I'm writing emails to you and I'm talking to you and you're telling me these situations, and all of those conversations are going to be privileged, meaning they cannot be obtained, they cannot be used in court.
But non-related to what we're discussing, case-wise, I mean, if I said, how was your trip to Vietnam, that's not privileged.
No, that is correct. That is correct. And also, if I give you documents or you give me documents, that's not privileged. It's really just our communication.
Okay.
An exception is, a big exception in this case is going to be what they call the crime fraud exception. And that is, if you committed a crime in the past and you're telling me about it, probably I'm representing you in that crime, that's privileged. But if you say, hey, Karen, I'd like you to go over and kill one of the witnesses for trial, meaning we are talking about committing a crime or we're talking about your future intention to commit a crime, that is not privileged. So my guess is that what they're going to say is that these conversations about Stormy Daniels and making the payment and doing all those things was really a conversation that is under that crime fraud exception, because it has to do with the commission of a crime, perhaps involving Cohen himself.
So where does this go from here? I mean, Cohen seems like he's in a world of hurt, but does it just depend, I suppose, on what they find?
Well, when your lawyer needs a lawyer to represent him, Cohen has his own lawyer, that's not a good sign at all. No, it's not a good sign at all. They obviously didn't get what they wanted from Cohen. They were obviously sending subpoenas and trying to get these documents in a very traditional way. When they weren't being cooperated with, they did something very unusual to raid a lawyer's office. No, this doesn't look good. Now what we do is the U.S. attorney will watch when the U.S. attorney's office will go in and do a clean team, meaning they'll kind of look and see what attorney-client privilege documents there are, cull those out.
Is that the taint team we talked about yesterday?
Yeah. Okay. And you're going to need to have a judge do that. So that's normally what happens that I have seen, where there's a judge appointed to go through all the records and call out the ones that are privileged and then give the U.S. Attorney's Office the ones that aren't. Sometimes there's a third party appointed to do that. Sometimes there's an internal team that does it. So once that's done, then the government can take those documents and make a determination as to whether there was a crime committed and whether that evidence supports it.
All right. So just so we all understand this, Mueller does his investigation under the umbrella of, was there collusion with the Russians? What happened during the campaign? Is there a criminal in the White House? In the course of that, he comes across other evidence that seems to be specifically related to the porn star and the president and Michael Cohen. He goes to the Justice Department and says, what would you like me to do with this? Or, I suppose, this has nothing to do with me. The Justice Department then says, you're right, it doesn't. We're going to take this. They tell the FBI to stand by. They go to a judge, ask for a search warrant. They get a search warrant, which, as you said, is a high bar to cross if you're going to invade an attorney's office and home. And then they turn it over to the FBI for search. Is all that right in order?
It is, and one of the facts that just a little slight difference is that Mueller turned this over to the federal prosecutors in New York. So it seems to me that what he's saying is, this is not quite in my line of inquiry right now, but I'm going to refer it to a local agency to see if there's prosecution material there. So that's the one thing the media has kind of missed in this, is that this is not really part of the Russian investigation, because he passed it off to another federal prosecutor to actually execute.
Two more quick things. It's hard to tell if this is bad for the president, right? I mean, on the surface, it's bad for the president because proof of his affair could be exposed. But it seems like this is more a Cohen case than the president, at least for what we know now.
Well, I mean, anytime a person's attorney violates the law, that doesn't look good for the client. I mean, again, this whole thing is tawdry. A lawyer paying off somebody for for hush money and then saying that it wasn't Trump. That, you know, there's something wrong with that picture. Obviously, there's issues of election money. Was this money that was really in violation of the election laws? But I think it makes everybody look bad. You don't want your attorney to be out of commission because he's going to be now defending himself if there is a crime that he's accused of.
Cohen said that he would take a bullet for Trump, that he's his guy. He's always going to be loyal to Donald Trump. But if he's looking at a Manafort sort of jail sentence over this, and this strategically works to squeeze him for information, he may be in a position where he has to turn over some of those secrets, right?
Well, of course. And if he needs to defend himself, he's going to do it at all costs. He needs his attorney license, and this kind of charge could make him be disbarred. And what good is a lawyer without a law license? I mean, he's got other assets. Apparently, he's got a big business where he owns taxi medallions in New York City. But be that as it may, his power is in his ability to practice law, and he's going to defend that at all costs.
Karen, as we get two more tweets this morning, the president calling the New York Times fake news, they're another victim of his wrath again today. I'm just wondering, could the president ever be sued, or could Donald Trump ever be sued for slander or libel for coming up with the term fake news?
Well, sure. I mean, sure. But who's going to sue him and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars and then, you know, I just don't think it could ever happen. I mean, a false statement that impacts somebody's reputation. Has Trump impacted the reputation of the media? Probably. I think he's really grossly impacted the reputation of the FBI, who to me, is probably one of the most neutral, rule-following groups that we have in this country. And people now seem to think that the FBI is political and tainted and right. got an agenda. And that's just generally not the case.
Yeah, I mean, there's a segment of the population that certainly thinks that. But it goes to the larger question of his fitness for the job that he's willing to trash the FBI. Listen, let's hope we don't have World War III with Russia before 5. And let's put one foot in front of the other and try to make it a happy hump day.
Let's all do that.
All right. Thank you, Karen.
You're welcome.
Karen Conti, attorney at law.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
655. Got somebody you need to know. Going to meet him after 7 o'clock. And bizarre story yesterday. T.J. Miller, who played the keeper of the nerds on Silicon Valley for the last 3 years and left the show. Confidentially, he was fired. Is a very funny stand-up comedian and a guy who appears to be pretty messed up. And he screwed up big time. Drunk on a train on the way to Connecticut. Another train on the way to Connecticut that he somehow knew the number of. Is traveling nearby. He has an altercation with somebody on the train. And then apparently calls 911 and calls in a bomb threat about the other train.
Oh, my God.
That train ends up in Connecticut. It's greeted by 40 patrol cars and equipment and crews. Obviously, there's no bomb on the train because he's drunk and he called in a bomb threat. Anyway, he's facing serious criminal charges, and he ought to.
Is he has he just been diagnosed with any sort of mental illness?
Or I think he's been diagnosed with drinking too much okay. and maybe taking a few drugs here and there, but okay. really stupid.
Mm-hmm. Completely.
Seriously stupid. Did I mention how stupid that is? That's stupid. So let's go on the lighter side of stupid. Live to Buffalo, Minnesota. I don't know where Buffalo, Minnesota is, but I smiled at this in a way because I know this kid's going to be okay. Girl gets into the car. She takes her road test. And just when she's ready to back out, she puts the car in drive instead of reverse and drives directly into the lobby Uh-oh. Of the DMV, through the wall and through the window.
Test over.
Test over.
Do you get demerits for that?
You actually fail. Yeah, you fail the test. So she is recovering today. She wasn't even injured. The person with the clipboard was, but she's going to be okay as well, the test giver.
What is the amount of time you have to wait before you could take the
In
test
her case,
after
a long time. Okay. A long time. By the way, I'm being told Buffalo is northwest of Minneapolis. It's got to be way northwest of Minneapolis. I literally have never heard of it. And then there's this story of somebody named Scarlett Moffat. Anybody know who Scarlett Moffat is?
Mm-mm.
Scarlett Moffat is a British celebrity, beautiful girl, who appears on a show called I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, which was on American TV for about 10 minutes. And I believe, is that the one that Rod Blagojevich appeared on, or was he on some Celebrity Island?
He was
thing?
On Celebrity Apprentice with Trump.
Yeah, but he was on some, was on, or was it his, no, it was Mrs. Blagojevich
yeah,
who was on
was
the
on
island.
She was on that island one. I forgot the name of it. Yeah.
What the heck?
But I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Wasn't that the show, Mary Vanderbilt, that because they strand you somewhere?
Well, I think so. You're thinking of Survivor, though?
No.
Some sort of?
No, this is like a knockoff. The Daily Mirror in London says Scarlett Moffat, who apparently is famous because she's famous, kind of a British Kardashian, stated during an appearance on Channel 4 there that she said, my dream was to be a bus driver, but I can't pass the driver's test.
Okay, that's a problem then.
Now, how many times do you think Scarlett Moffat has failed a road test?
Twice.
A little higher than that.
No.
10?
13.
Come on.
13 times.
Come on.
How 13 times.
At what point do you not take the test again?
13.
Do they wear glasses?
13 would be it.
At what point do you learn how to drive? It's not that difficult.
Shouldn't drive.
I don't know why you would keep going back if you failed it 13 times. You know, clearly driving's not for you.
Wouldn't you want to know, well, maybe not, every violation, like why she failed the first time, why she failed the second time. It couldn't have been the same thing 13 times.
I wouldn't think so. And she's only 27.
Oh, God.
So she's done this in, assuming it's, what is it, 15 or 16 probably in England as well. Now, they granted, they drive on the wrong side of the road.
Right.
So that takes some learning.
Oh, my God.
But 13 attempts to get a driver's license. Now, I failed my test the first time.
Well, one time, yeah, you can see.
I went over, there was a broken stop line, you know, where there's a road that doesn't go straight through.
Mm-hmm.
And the stop sign, I went to the second part of the broken road as opposed to the first to stop. So the stop line and the second one. Obvious problem there is if somebody's coming through on the first part of the broken road, you're going to get hit.
So you failed.
So I failed. I was devastated at the time.
Yeah.
It was a big deal to get your driver's license.
And you didn't want to go back to school and tell everyone? It's awful.
Yeah, I'm sure I did for the attention.
Yeah, guess what happened to me?
But I went back, and I think it was 2 weeks or something, and I went back and got it. Anybody else on a show of failure?
No.
Never.
Mm-hmm. No. I passed with flying colors.
Okay. All right. Fine.
Yeah, I passed with my eyes closed. How do you like that?
Well, I don't think you should drive with your eyes closed, Joe. I think that's
how good I am, though.
Didn't you actually have your hand tied behind your back as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, that's comforting.
He drove with his teeth.
There was two seasons of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here in the United States, one in 2003 and one in 2009.
You're talking about here?
Yes.
Okay.
Chris Judd, Melissa Rivers, John Melendez, Bruce Jenner, Downtown Julie Brown, Tyson Beckford, Nikki Ziering.
So all the big names.
Alana Stewart, Robin Leach.
So all the big names.
Lou Diamond Phillips, Tori Wilson. Who was the person you asked about?
Patty
Blagojevich.
She was on it?
Oh, yes, because remember she was kind of hooking up with that basketball player.
And she was on an island and bugs were attacking her.
Who's the basketball player here?
Dennis Rodman?
Oh, NBA. John Sally.
John Sally, former Chicago Bull, Detroit Piston.
Yeah.
Multimedia celebrity.
Again, hard to believe that show didn't catch on.
I think we're using the term celebrity quite loosely here.
Yeah. Well, again, that's what reality TV is.
Right.
Celebrities that were never really big stars, or if they were, they were in something else, and now they're just trying to stay relevant.
B-celebs.
Does it say when Patty Blagojevich was kicked off? Did she last a long time on
No, I don't think so. I think it was like 3 or 4 episodes, and yeah, she had to go home.
Yeah, I can't really tell from this. Lou Diamond Phillips, I believe, is the one who won.
And then if I remember the story right, there was something about why I have to earn a living, you know, because my husband's in jail.
Right.
All right, so that here's the text question. We'll do a quick text question on this as well. We'll get to some of these later. Did you fail your road test?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do? How'd you fail your road test?
What if you knew someone
who failed
your road test?
It's a mini text question, really.
I knew a guy who failed at our high school, and he was devastated, too, because he stopped at a crosswalk, and there were no pedestrians, which I thought... I mean, nowadays, I think that's probably a good
school
thing.
School bus?
Well, he stopped at the crosswalk, and then he failed because there were no pedestrians.
Yeah, well, I mean, that sort of makes sense, right? There could be cars behind you. It could run into you and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, I actually have the distinction of failing my road test the first time, and then I think it was 5 years ago, maybe less. I had a speeding ticket during the period of time that my license lapsed. Or during the period of time I had the license, and then I went in to have my license renewed. And since I had a speeding ticket on my record in the previous 3 years, I had to retake the written test.
Oh, and you did it online?
No, at the DMV.
Okay.
And it's all road signs.
All right.
And, you know, I didn't study. And I failed.
Did you really?
Yeah, and I brought it up, and the guy behind the counter had recognized me, and he goes, no, no. And I don't know if you're supposed to wait or anything, but he gives it to me again. He goes, oh, listen, here's the book. Here's the test. Go study for 15 minutes and come back and take it again. And I did pass.
That's hard, though. I mean, we know the stop sign.
Well, they're blanks. They're blank geometric shapes.
Yeah.
And then you have to match the signs to those blank geometric shapes.
Yeah, like yield. The upside
it's a lot
triangle.
Like calculus.
Okay, it's really not.
It's like rocket science.
It's like if you combine physics, calculus, and brain surgery, that's what the written test is.
But you know, the question is always, the answer is going to be whatever is the safest safest answer.
Oh, is that how
choices.
You got through high school?
Just
tough guy?
I don't mean safe for you. I mean whatever is promoting safety the most among the answers.
Just pick number 2 for everyone.
I mean, it's
like a Scantron.
Well, you know me. I'm a little ditzy. Back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, 7:15. We'll keep an eye on the president's Twitter feed to see if this war of words with Russia gets amped up any more this morning. About an hour ago, the president tweeted that Russia better be careful with their threats about shooting down our missiles. Russia responded that the president ought to be focused on stopping terrorists. As you know, the Kremlin supports this animal Assad. The president's right about that. So the president's gotten much tougher on Russia this week. I don't know that it matters why at this point, other than history. But it's good that he has, and we'll see where it goes from here, and we'll keep an eye on it, obviously. At 7:15, I'm lucky enough in this show to meet and give you an opportunity to meet some pretty amazing people, and two of them are in studio now. Little D and his dad, Scott Brown. Howie, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm trying to get your mic on there. There you are.
Hi, good morning.
Where are you from?
We're from Vernon Hills, northern suburbs of Illinois.
And Little D, I'm going to talk to your dad here for a second, and then I'm going to start grilling you, pal.
Okay, got it.
You're 8 years old?
Yes.
What is that, third grade?
No, second.
Second grade, okay. What do you want to be when you grow up?
A baseball player.
Do you play now?
Yeah.
What position?
It's
infield,
base.
Outfield? Every base? Well, you got to get a better team.
Infield, outfield, we're rotating each game.
Oh, so you get to learn a little bit of everything.
And he's really good, too, so you got to put him at every, right, Derek? You got to put you at every position.
So he plays against nine guys.
Yeah.
So it's Derek on them.
Right, exactly.
Derek has gone through a lot in his young life.
Yep.
As your family. The name of the condition is what?
It's called tuberous sclerosis complex.
Incredibly rare.
Incredibly rare, yep. A lot of rare diseases around. This is one of them. About 50,000 people in the U.S. have it, about 1 million worldwide.
A lot of times when we talk about stuff that's this serious and this painful for a lot of folks to hear, you know, the main reason is not just to inspire you and to remind people how lucky you are to have kids that are, in quotes, healthy, but also to remind you that there are a lot of places you can help that really need help, because when a condition as rare as this comes up, nobody's throwing money at it. Nobody's going, here's everything you need to fix it, right?
Right, exactly right. Yeah, it's something that we kind of have to go after, we have to fight for. The charity we'll talk about today was really started by three moms whose kids had the disease, and, you know, there was nobody there to help them, so they kind of started, and they've built it, and now there's a national organization based in Silver Spring, Maryland, called the TS Alliance. And they're the ones kind of funneling everything. And
they know who the doctors are that are doing the work that could make the dominoes fall to figure this out.
Exactly, yeah. There's a lot of research that needs to happen, a lot of researchers that are out there right now working on things that hopefully can solve this disease for us.
And there's a lot of great doctors who have already helped Little D make the fight here. Now, the other thing is a lot of people go, well, it's hard to talk about this in front of him. Little D knows he's fighting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he knows all this. So he's got a big old smile on his face. So there's no surprises here. But for people that need to understand this, what's he been through?
Well, Derek's had a long history. So, you know, when he was at our 18-week ultrasound, all excited to, kind of have our kid, and they found a little white spot in his heart. So, you know, at that point, they weren't quite sure exactly what it was, but the more they kind of looked into it, watched him grow, that little white spot grew. It turned out to be a tumor. We knew at that point it could be this disease that they told us is horrific.
And you knew this before he was born?
Yeah.
Wow.
18 weeks. We didn't know that he actually had the disease. They said that it could be that or it could be some other things, but he definitely had that heart tumor, watched it grow. If you know anything about the heart, there's four chambers. The tumor grew so big, it took up almost one entire chamber. We were fortunate when he was born that there was just enough blood flow around it to where he, you know, they didn't have to go in and do surgery, but he did spend his first month in the hospital with a big giant heart that impacted his breathing. His lungs didn't develop. Then he was breathing so fast that he couldn't grow. He was eating, but he was burning so many calories with the breathing that he couldn't grow. So a lot of kind of rough beginnings there. And then another part of the disease, so that the heart thing kind of settled. Eventually, over time, those tumors shrink. So
what do you have to do to the heart to keep the heart working after that?
Yeah, so he's on medications to a beta blocker, basically, to make sure he doesn't get too high or too low.
Right.
And then at 9 months, he had a cardiac arrest when he had his very first flu. So that was something that, you know, the doctors were kind of looking out for. He had this tumor in his heart.
So they actually expected that could happen.
They didn't know that would happen.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty rare. On top of a rare disease, he's got a rare instance of what happened. But they were kind of keeping an eye out what would happen with his first flu. That's a lot of stress on the heart. Turns out, heart couldn't take it. So he had a cardiac arrest, went in and were able to put in an ICD pacemaker. So he's got that. We affectionately call it his box. So he's got a little box. He just had,
did you name it? Did you name the box, Derek? Or is it better just to call it the box?
I just call it the box.
Yeah, that's fine.
He was telling me about the box off the air. Is that right? I got completely schooled on
really?
It. Yeah,
you're a tough dude, awesome. Man. You are one tough dude. And we're just at the beginning of this.
Yep.
Now, there's offshoots of this that other things are caused by this, tuberous sclerosis. Seizures?
Yep. So epilepsy and autism are two big pieces that come along with the disease. Many people develop both of those, some one, some both, along with other things. So basically causes tumors to grow in places where they shouldn't. Major organs, your heart, your kidneys, your lungs, brain, and then a lot of skin manifestations, things of that nature. So, but epilepsy and autism are a couple things that definitely impact a lot of people. Derek has epilepsy. Been well controlled for the last 3 years because we're so blessed with medications, but many people have uncontrollable epilepsy.
So there's different degrees of the disease.
Absolutely, yeah.
The meds, of course, are miraculous, mm-hmm. But when Derek's having a bad day, how uncomfortable is this?
You know, I think we are blessed beyond blessed with this little guy, other than, you know, constant doctor's visits, a lot of therapies.
And all the stuff he shouldn't have to deal with because he's eight and he ought to be just rocking and rolling.
Exactly. But if you see him right now, what's he doing? He's smiling.
Smile on his face, being a goofball the way he should be at eight.
This kid is always smiling. He'll swing and miss or strike out or something in baseball. He's still smiling. So that makes it easier on us as parents, without
sure.
a doubt,
sure.
To kind of go through that. So we know we're blessed with this kid. Others have it a little more difficult than us.
And I bet he's got good friends, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. He's got a lot of friends that support him. He's got a sister who loves him to death and is a huge advocate for him. So.
Older sister?
Older sister. She's 10.
Yeah. Oh, 10 years old. What's your sister's name, dude?
Sophia.
She's pretty great, I guess, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. You ever fight with her?
Sometimes I do.
Who's right, you or her?
Yeah.
You.
You usually, or is she right some of the time?
Sometimes I start it, but sometimes she started.
Yeah. Yes. But you still love each other, and you're still the best friends.
Yeah.
Well, you're a good kid. I want to talk to you some more coming up. And, Dad, more from you as well. But let's remind people who might have to get out of the car and go to work. The name of the charity is what?
It's called the TS Alliance. It's the national charity. And one thing that we're going for up in June 2nd, we'll talk more about, is you can go to stepforwardtocuretsc.org. That's our upcoming charity event in June 2nd.
And we will link that to all the social sites, including at Cochran Show on Twitter, Steve Cochran Show on Facebook, and WGNradio.com. More coming up.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Back in studio with Scott and Derek Brown. Derek dealing with something called tuberous sclerosis complex, or really a vicious condition that is cowardly because it attacks little kids. And Scott and everybody related to this doing their best to figure out some answers as quickly as possible. In case you're just turning the radio on, along with offshoots of autism and epilepsy and skin conditions, Derek also dealt from the time he was in the womb a threat to his heart. And he's a fighter that deserves texts like this. 779, thank you, Derek. You inspire me to deal with my own challenges bravely. That's from Sandy in Woodstock. And I'm sure you hear that all the time from folks, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's obviously a challenge. We know there are a lot of other people going through challenges, so just do our best to focus on what we got to do day to day to keep this kid healthy.
Well, what's funny is anytime any of us start feeling sorry for ourselves, I call them God moments. You find somebody that comes in for your life or comes in front of you that's going a little tougher than what they're dealing with.
Yep.
Having said that, Mr. Smiley over here seems to be doing pretty well. Let's talk a little bit about this charity. What do they do? Is it largely research, or is it actually family support, or a little of everything?
Yep. So primary goal of the TS Alliance is to find a cure. There's no cure for this disease right now. So everything they're doing is trying to raise funds for research. There's various trials that they're doing. So primary goal is to find a cure, but also support the families that have it.
Sometimes we find out that, for instance, in Europe, they may be ahead of us because they have less regulations, and they're trying some trials that we aren't. Anything like that going on?
Yeah, I mean, there's things happening across the country or across the world. The challenge being it's such a small disease that there's not a lot happening specific for TS. But as we mentioned, there's a lot of epilepsy-related things that are going to help kids with this disease.
Are there folks in Chicago as well that are dealing with this? I mean, I'm sure there are, but I mean, folks that you're affiliated with?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm the volunteer walk chair for the Chicagoland area. Last year, we had about 350, 400 people show up, but there's a lot of families in the Chicagoland area. There's a couple of TSC-specific clinics at the local children's hospitals. I know Lurie has one. Comer has one. There's some in Milwaukee. So there's families around that have it. We're doing our best to kind of make sure those families know that we're around we're here for them. They have family they don't even know about, so we'd love for them to come out as well.
Man, we haven't mentioned mom yet. Hey, dude, say hi to your mom.
Hi, mom.
That's good. That's good. You need strong families to be able to deal with stuff like this, obviously, but it's probably good to lean on other parents, too, that are dealing with the same thing.
Yep, absolutely. They say it takes a village. We have quite a support system. We know we're blessed with that. My mother-in-law is very active with the TS Alliance. My parents are helpful. Really, the whole family has been amazing to step up and help us with anything we've needed over the years, therapy and running around, all the fun things you got to deal with.
Your doctors and nurses, pretty cool?
Yep.
Any in particular you want to say hi to, or just all of them?
All of them.
Yeah, why not, right? You got a walk coming up, or is that, what's the story, dude?
Wait, is it how I got the box?
Oh, no, the walk coming up. I know how you got the box. You had a doctor come in, you were sleeping, next thing you know, you got a box.
That's right.
Yeah. But the walk that's coming up for the charity, is that this month?
So June 2nd is our walk. We're going to be at the Carmel High School. So an exciting
place.
Everybody's
welcome.
You hear Mary back there. She's a Carmel grad, so fortunate enough to be able to come in and talk to you about it. But yeah, June 2nd is the walk. Registration at 10. The walk begins at 11. We've got a whole bunch of fun family-related things. It's really a low-key, fun, activity-driven thing. There's a lot of raffles. Last year, we had the fire department come out with an old fire truck and drive around the parking lot. We had a juggling guy on stilts last year. Tesla came out. So trying to bring a lot of fun activity things there. We'll have raffles and you know, basically just have a good time, try to raise money and solve this crazy disease.
We're lucky enough to have a lot of support here and a big audience. What do you want corporate folks to hear as they're driving to work this morning? How could they help?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's probably the area we're struggling with is corporate sponsorships. I mean, we're looking for companies to help us. A lot of advertising opportunities where, you know, you can help us, we can help you, and kind of get your name out there. But basically, if anybody's interested, you can go on the website. We'll mention that again, and then you'll have it posted. But
sure,
corporate sponsorships would be amazing. Anybody would go to the website. Feel free to join our team. We're Little D's Heroes at the Chicagoland Walk, or just come on out.
Andrea and Derek have developed some sort of sign language.
We're going out. Yeah, we're leaving. We're going to breakfast.
Apparently, you got a new best friend.
He's my buddy.
Yeah. You got a great smile, pal. Hang around. I got one more thing I got to go over with you guys before we're done. But again, okay. If you're interested in the walk, if you're interested in helping the charity nationally or helping you guys locally, give them all the information.
Sure. The national charity is tsalliance.org. And the walk itself, you can go to stepforwardtocuretsc.org. Find us under Chicagoland. And again, we're Little D's Heroes if you want to join us, but any support would be amazing.
And as people drive to work and don't have a pen or can't write all that down, I assume if you Google Little D's Heroes, most of that will come up.
Yeah, hopefully. I haven't tried that. We'll see what comes up. But yeah, Little D's Heroes, or if you just Google TSC or tuberous sclerosis.
All right. And I'm told that it does come up on Google. And
nice.
That we also, of course, are linking it across the board.
Appreciate that.
WGNRadio.com and at Cockroach on Twitter and all those other places. Stick around. More with you guys in just a second. We'll come back with you to do the headlines right after this, you being Andrea, if you're not following me as I point around the room, on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I was talking about this young lady who failed her road test in Buffalo, Minnesota, when she drove forward instead of backward and at the start of her test plowed the family car into the lobby of the DMV. And then this B-level celebrity from Britain who has taken and failed the road test 13 times. So I said, what have you guys done? 847, I failed driver's ed because I was making unhealthy choices. Last day of class, a liquid breakfast at New Trier.
Not cool. Mm. Not cool.
I thought I was bulletproof at 16. You know, as a lot of 16-year-olds do. And I remember specifically, let's say it was a Tuesday, telling my mother, I'm never going to get in an accident. What are you talking about? And the next day, after driver's ed, mm-hmm. taking a curve too fast, the back wheels of our fancy Plymouth Scamp got caught up in the gravel, started to fishtail, hit a road sign. And I remember the road sign like tumbling through the air and it speared into the lawn of a house. And a look on my father's face when he showed up. He didn't say, are you okay? He said, nice move, sport.
Right. How's the car?
Yeah. Yeah. And I made up some crap about a cat ran out in front of me, which he knew I probably would have not moved. All right. Some other texters. And let's see here. 847. Let's keep Steve off the roads. I am making it sound like I'm a terrible driver. I'm a good driver.
You're a pretty good driver. Yeah.
Pretty good. What are you talking about?
I've only driven with you a couple times.
Oh, that's ridiculous. You're not bad. A great driver. 847. When I took mine, you only had to parallel park if there was a space. As we pulled up to the facility, the curb was totally open. Delighted, I stopped the car right in front of a fire hydrant. Done. Failed.
Yeah. Yep.
I had a friend who hit a police car on a road test. You know, that's not going to be a good thing.
You got to wait like 5 years to retake it after that.
In 630, the tester had a very heavy Polish accent, and every time he said something, I looked at him and said, "What?" The next day, my mother drove me to a different location for the Secretary of State's office, and I passed it there. So there's no waiting period, huh? There's no, like, cooling off period after you fail?
I thought there would be a cooling off period, but it's just pride.
I got a couple more minutes with our friends here. Scott and Derek Brown are here. Scott the dad, Derek the youngster. The smiling Derek Brown, as we call him. And little D's been dealing with a very rare condition and continues to. It's called tuberous sclerosis complex. And if you believe like I do as a kid, you ought to be able to just work hard in school and have fun. Well, you know, you got a lot of makeup time coming up, buddy. But he does appear to know how to have a good time, your young son here.
Absolutely. This guy's a constant smiler and always a jokester, too. A lot of pranks.
Yeah, and we're getting kind of the rundown on his baseball skills here and the fact that anything you throw at him, he can hit.
That's what he claims.
Yes. All right, so you mentioned the work that's being done by the various charities tied to this. You know, there are parents listening now who have been hit with some devastating news about a baby that's about to be born or a kid of their own. What do you say to them?
Yeah, that's the one thing that gets me, you know, almost every day. There's two kids born each day with this disease. And I still remember the day that my wife and I first heard about it. You know, we were first told that this is what he has. And, you know, at the time we were told, you know, we were basically told us, do not Google it. Don't go to Google and read all the stories. Go to the TSAlliance.org and get the true story. So basically, you know, maintain hope. You know, we're doing everything we can. Join our forces so we can kind of battle this thing. You know, it's a rough battle, but just know that they're not alone either. There's families out there, we're out there, and come join us, and let's battle this thing.
Because this has so many different manifestations or hooks to it between epilepsy and autism and skin conditions and things like that, is it possible that they're making strides on one of those pieces and that'll happen before the others?
Yeah, absolutely. They call this a linchpin disease. Any advances we can have in this disease will also impact and help autism, epilepsy, cancer research, people with traumatic brain injury, all your military folks who I know you support quite a bit.
Sure.
So all those things are connected. So if we can find a cure, it's going to help all of them.
Derek, you got any friends, other kids who have to deal with this as well that you've gotten to know?
No.
No? No friends? I mean, I know you got a lot of friends, but nobody else dealing with your deal.
Nobody else dealing with my deal.
Okay. And Derek's on his second box, by the way. When did he get the new box?
So he still has the same box, but he had a battery replacement this summer. So just like anything else, the batteries run out over time. So they
how long the first one last?
7+ years. So we had to go in and basically do a little battery swap, take out the little battery pack, put the new one in, and he's good to go.
7.5-year battery, but we have to charge our cell phones every day.
Yeah, right.
That's the Orion Samuelson theory.
Yep.
You guys, anything else?
Little D and I think are kindred spirits because we both like mint chocolate chip ice cream and cheeseburgers. But tell everybody what you like to do in your spare time.
What do you do for fun, man?
I play baseball.
Right, we covered baseball. You're gonna have to come up with more answers than that.
Watch TV or
eat cheeseburgers.
We already covered that.
Yes, Steve. Video games,
a lot of baseball.
TV.
Loves comic books. He's really getting into reading lately.
What's your favorite TV show?
I really don't know.
Do you watch much TV or much screen time?
Well, I play on my iPad.
Yeah. Right. You can tell me. I won't tell you, Dad. Oh, that's right. He's sitting right here.
He gets up early, and I turn around. He's not in his bed. He's downstairs watching, you know, something.
TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, God bless you, pal, and your whole family. It's great that you come out here and talk about it, but it's also inspiring just to meet you. Keep up the fight, tough guy.
I will.
I know you will. I have no doubts. And last word from you?
No, thanks everyone for the support. Again, you can go check us out. Step forward to curetsc.org. I really appreciate the voice and the time this morning.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming in.
The Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Told you about the kid that drove into the DMV. There's a woman in Connecticut that backed into the DMV. And Ozzy Osbourne says he's never going to drive again because he's afraid he's going to get sued.
Sharon! By the way, as you said correctly, there is no waiting period. So if you fail the test,
you can take it right away.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know a lot of kids who do that. And just like you said, go to another place. Another
they just go to a different driver's location.
Yeah, they take it again. Yeah.
You couldn't do that back in 1977.
No, apparently not.
You had to go home and be shamed for a while. Part of the reason was you didn't know you failed right away, unless it was, you know, clearly obvious. And in my case, I had to wait for the results. That was, and that, by the way, the results, kids, are called, it's called mail.
Yes.
And then it's sent to you in something called an envelope. And then you open this envelope, and there inside the envelope is a notice, and it says you're a failure. And then you have to reschedule the test.
Or you got a learner's permit back in the day.
Yeah, I still had my permit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do they still do that? Do you still have a permit for 6 months before you get your license?
You have to have a certain number of hours that you drive before you can take the road test. So what you see a lot of the times, if you have a like a school parking lot near you on the weekends, you see parents bringing their kids out to these parking lots and letting them drive around the parking lots.
That's how I learned.
Run into each other.
My mom took me to the Metra parking lot, and right. I got to drive. But then she also taught me how to parallel park. And at the time, I said, I'll never use this. What do I need to learn how to do this for? Oh, my God. Thank God. Thank God. We parallel park every day.
Yeah, you live in the city. That's where you
yeah.
do
yeah.
The state ought to have a DMV facility in every county where kids can practice.
Absolutely.
Where you literally go through the test.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
For sure. It'd be like bumper cars.
Why do I have to solve everything?
Yeah, that sounds like Demolition Derby.
Kind of does. 708, my very first driver's ed teacher took us on I-57.
Nice.
Cruising along.
Oh, yeah.
Teacher told me to check my bead. I looked down at the speedometer. I was doing 90. I think bead was supposed to be speed. check my speed. Doing 90. 90 seems a little fast for, you know, your driver's ed class.
Oh, yeah.
630-15. I drove my dad's truck right through our garage door because I didn't realize what gear it was in. I crushed an antique clock that had been passed down through several generations of the family and was supposed to go to me one day. Oh, and I almost ran over my sister.
Oh, God.
Didn't get my license till I was 20.
Wow.
So there you go. Some textures this morning on how I failed my road test at 7:58. You got that Durbin clip from yesterday? I want to play this for people. One of the funnier things yesterday about Mark Zuckerberg testifying to the Senate is the average age of a United States senator now is 64 years old. There's four members of the Senate who are 84. I tweeted this out yesterday. There was a moment where Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley was talking about Abraham Lincoln being his first Facebook friend. And I'm pretty sure Lincoln didn't even have Facebook. So they're old and they didn't quite understand the technology. One of the senators talked about how you send an email on WhatsApp.
Right. Was it Leahy?
You don't email on WhatsApp. Yeah. No, that's not how it works. So there's a little bit of a notion of it, like your nerd grandson is trying to explain to grandpa how it all works. But I thought Zuckerberg overall, aside from looking really, really, really frightened, Zuckerberg handled himself pretty well.
I thought he did too.
So, but this I thought was the best question, because the whole thing is about exploiting our privacy. Is Facebook taking us for granted? Are they exploiting our privacy? Senator Durbin, he gets a chance to ask some questions. Here's what he did.
Mr. Zuckerberg, would you be comfortable sharing with us the name of the hotel you stayed in last night?
No.
If you've messaged anybody this week, would you share with us the names of the people you've messaged?
Senator, no, I would probably not choose to do that publicly here.
I think that may be what this is all about. Your right to privacy, the limits of your right to privacy, and how much you give away in modern America in the name of, quote, connecting people around the world. A question, basically, of what information Facebook's collecting, who they're sending it to, and whether they ever asked in advance my permission to do that. Is that a fair thing for a user of Facebook to expect?
Yes, Senator. I think everyone should have control over how their information is used. And as we've talked about in some of the other questions, I think that is laid out in some of the documents. But more importantly, you want to give people control in the product itself. So the most important way that this happens across our services is that every day people come to our services to choose to share photos or send messages. And every single time they choose to share something, they're they have a control right there about who they want to share it with. But that level of control is extremely important.
They certainly know within the Facebook pages who their friends are, but they may not know, as has happened, and you've conceded this point in the past, that sometimes that information is going way beyond their friends, and sometimes people have made money off of sharing that information.
Nice job by Senator Durbin yesterday, because the whole thing came down to this. The 97-page user agreement that we all click through and just agree to at the end that no one has ever read, including the proofreaders for the attorney's office that wrote it up, is that something that should be more specific? Should there be five bullet points that say, this is what you're going to lose if you don't set your privacy settings appropriately on Facebook? Here's what's going to happen. You're going to have a paid Facebook model and an unpaid. And the unpaid, you're going to be more likely to be hacked. And the paid version, you'll have more protections. And expect that to happen sooner than later.
Yeah.
801, and let's get back on track here and get Dean in here in a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me good.
Dean Richards, hello.
Steve, when I hear that music, it puts a little giddy up into my step.
A little jump in your jumper.
Exactly. Exactly correct.
We asked a question this morning, Dean, a very important text question this morning. How'd you fail your road test? Did you ever fail your road test?
I passed my road test.
First time flying colors.
I'm a very good driver.
I have failed my road test. First time. You kill one guy, and suddenly it's a federal issue.
No, tell them what you did.
They're so picky.
It was a broken road, and I mean that in a country music sense. It was a broken road, and I pulled up to the stop sign that was actually at the second piece of the broken road, therefore blowing a stop sign, technically.
It was a broken road.
That one.
That's where the song came from.
And then I waited 2 weeks for the mail to come to find out I failed.
Oh, they didn't tell you right away?
No.
That's cruel.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I got it within a year and 10 days. No, I got it 2 weeks later.
I don't understand what you mean by broken road.
You know, a road that is not connecting to the road across the street. So let's say you are on what street right now?
Western.
And Western is connecting with what's a parallel street to
Addison.
Addison. So Addison crosses Western, but it doesn't cross in an exact straight line. It comes to a stop, and then there's a, you know, maybe at 10, 15 feet, and then it picks up 10, 15 feet wide of that on the other side.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, whatever.
That makes no sense.
Well, I don't understand how you don't understand this. Visually.
It's kind of like our parking lot.
Visually, you're driving along, and then you have to turn a little bit to continue the road, right? So once you cross the street.
Like a zigzag a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah, zigzag. There you go.
Okay.
God, I could break it down for all of you road test pastors.
Some of us passed with flying colors.
So it's a zigzagger.
We didn't need to learn all the...
Yeah, I didn't know the term zigzagger. That's why I feel...
Zigzag meant something else when I was taking my driver's...
Yeah, it did, actually. Yeah. Texter's chiming in with stories. 319. Getting a commercial driver's license would be fun for you, Steve. You have to parallel park a semi.
Oh.
Wow.
I like parallel parking.
Yeah.
It's no issue.
How to do it.
It's kind of fun when no one's around, but when people are waiting.
Ah, whatever.
The pressure.
Whatever. Look, a bunch of these. 708, I learned to drive in the cemetery.
I did. I did too.
708, took my son to the cemetery, figured who could he hurt?
Exactly. That's a good point.
Except a stone.
Yeah. 847, same thing. 815, my driver's ed teacher's names, Mr. Carr and Mr. Rhodes.
No.
It looks like it. Cool. 847, you now need a permit for a minimum of 9 months with 50 hours of driving. You saw some that said a year.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, a friend of mine texted me and said you have to have a permit for 1 year. That's what her son had to have.
So that's a lot.
That's a lot of faking.
Yes, it is.
A lot of fake hours going on there.
Yeah. You know, Matt, you know how long kids think before they lie about how many hours they've driven?
Oh, God.
815, my mother-in-law failed because she didn't know how to turn on her headlights manually. Next try the next day, her insurance card expired. Third try, passed. 262, I drove through a stop sign. The examiner asked, was there any particular reason why you didn't stop at the big red octagon-shaped sign that said stop on it? I said, didn't see it. 847, my father gave me a matchbook, told me to give it to the examiner. I was rather naive and confused, but noticed when I gave him the matchbook, there was money folded underneath the matches. Yes, my father was trying to bribe the test giver.
Uh-oh.
That's the Chicago way.
Yeah.
815. Me and two of the driver's ed students were practicing freeway driving in southern Washington State. Teacher fell asleep while we were driving. I was heading south on Interstate 5 for 20 miles. Drove into Oregon.
Oh, nice.
Mr. Bemis woke up and realized he had taken three underage kids across state lines without permission and had technically kidnapped us.
Love that.
And in the 920, on the driving range in an AMC Gremlin. Car number 7, they called it. You could do that all day, but you're never going to get that car closer to the curb. Remember the Gremlin?
Oh yeah.
So cool.
What a sexy car
cool.
That was.
Like
a sexy, sexy car.
My now 95-year-old mother, who is now not driving, but I was trying to get her to stop driving for the last 10 years. She went to get her driver's license renewed and failed the driver's test. And I thought, in my mind, I'm going, yay, I don't have to be the bad guy to take her keys away from her. And then she announces to me, yeah, Mrs. So-and-so told me, don't go for your test to that facility. Go to that facility somewhere else. They pass everyone.
Oh, see?
She goes to the other one and passes the next day.
Yeah.
Oh.
And is back on the road.
I had a similar experience with somebody, and I can't even remember who told me the story, but it was out in the Western Burbs, where their dad was considered just adorable and cute by the people behind the counter, and they passed him. Failed his eye test, and they passed him.
Oh, no.
What's wrong with that? You can't see? Oh, well, here, take the keys.
I'm afraid to be around my mother when I take her to the grocery store and she's in those, kind of golf carts, you know, they have in the grocery store. She's hitting everything.
Oh, they're so big.
They take
up the whole
other You know, my mother's response? Well, they see me coming in this thing. They ought to get out of the way.
Yeah, that's right. You get to an age where you don't care. Mm-mm. It's the old Seinfeld joke. I'm in Florida. I'm backing up.
Right.
All right, Kevin Smith's in an news today. Mariah Carey as well. Bizarre story with TJ Miller, formerly of Silicon Valley. The Cosby trial, and Dean's got a honey of a deal as a celebrity real estate titan.
I've got multiple honeys of a deal today.
Exciting. And I have cash.
You know what? Again, I don't. It's like three
times. I'll spot you.
I must be going through a rough patch.
Apparently.
Either that or I can't find an ATM. We'll come back with all of that in just a second.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
Dean's here. Andy Mazur is here for Dave and Dean. Say hi to Andy.
Andy Mazur, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Hi, Dean. How are you?
Have you two met?
We've met a couple times.
Oh, that's right. You're on the Sunday show.
Very hard to get him on the Sunday morning show.
Right. There's a guy that does an impression of him.
Yep. I've got a tough guy to deal with, a booker. Yep.
Sponsored by brand new Smile Dental Implant Center. Dean, what's going on with Kevin Smith?
Kevin Smith has made an offer to Marvel Comics creator Stan Lee after reading a heartbreaking story by Stan Lee alleging that his 67... Stan Lee is 95 years old. Stan Lee's daughter is 67, and he is claiming that his daughter has been influenced by several individuals and are trying to take control of his estate, his property, his belongings.
Is she the only child?
I don't know if she's the only child or not, but apparently has control because now Stan Lee's accountant has been fired, the attorney has been fired. And Stan Lee is...
Well, you need one of the superheroes to step in.
Well, he needs the Avengers to step in to help him out here. He's claiming elder abuse. So director Kevin Smith this morning has stepped in and tweeted, essentially saying, Stan Lee, come and move in with me. I will take care of you.
Didn't Kevin Smith just have a massive heart attack?
He did, but he seems to be okay now.
Taking a lot on.
That is taking a lot on. He's saying, come and live with me, or come on, Marvel fans, let's all pitch in and buy Stan Lee a home in some place where he can be safe for the rest of his life.
So the daughter, as we understand it then, the daughter has control of the money, but maybe allowing it to get away.
I don't know if she's power of attorney. It sounds as if she does have some control of all of those things.
But even though he created all these characters and he's quite rich, he's not as rich as you would expect him to be, right?
His estate is worth up to $70 million. When you consider how big Marvel is now and sold to Disney, $70 million does not sound like...
It's $27.50.
...that much to me.
Yeah. No, it's not in the big picture.
Right.
What's wrong with Mariah Carey?
Mariah Carey, for the first time, is disclosing to People magazine that she has been suffering bipolar disorder for the last 12 years.
Wow.
She said that she was... First, she wasn't sure what it was. And then once she was diagnosed, she didn't want to believe it. She was in denial and isolation and was afraid that people would expose her disease. And then now is finally saying, it's just too heavy a burden to carry. I can't do that anymore. And she's come forward and says that she's in therapy and she's taking medication for bipolar 2 disorder.
Yeah, there's bipolar 1, which is just brutal. And about the time you get the pharmacological experiment completed and your meds level off, you got to change your meds. It's really... really an awful disease. Bipolar 2 is just the softer version of it. You don't have the highs and the lows the way you do, but it's still a vicious disease.
Yeah, people had commented about her behavior and how it was very extreme, extreme high, extreme low, and maybe that's what sent her into for more testing on all of this. But
it's tough. Rebeccasdream.org is the local charity the Cutler family did in honor of Rebecca Cutler. My friend who took her own life.
I remember we were talking about that.
Not in fact, 10 years ago.
I think I remember meeting. Did I meet
Rebecca? Oh, you absolutely did. Yeah.
Years ago.
Yeah. So anybody that's suffering with any form of mental illness or even depression, please check that out. Great resources. RebeccasDream.org.
Good for her for coming. Good for Mariah.
Absolutely.
And anyone else who is dealing with it head on.
What's this TJ Miller story?
Crazy is in a nutshell is what I would call it.
Right.
T.J. Miller, the actor, the comedian, probably know him best formerly of Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
He's now quit that show, but he was in the very highly acclaimed Emoji movie from last year.
He's been in a bunch of movies. He's very talented, and he's a funny stand-up. He's a little raw for some people, but he just appears to be a train wreck.
There's an awful lot of inconsistent behavior and odd things that have been attributed to him. Here's the latest. He was arrested after making bomb threats, fake bomb threats on an Amtrak train. On March 18th, prosecutors say that he called 911 about a train that was traveling from Washington, D.C. to New York, said that there was a woman on the train, had a bomb in her bag. Authorities stopped the train, searched everybody, searched the bag, searched the whole train, found absolutely nothing. Miller, it was found, was actually on a different Amtrak train at the time. An attendant who was on the train with Miller, the different train, said that he appeared to be intoxicated when he got on the train and was bothering people in the first class car. So these charges of calling in a fake bomb threat...
It's a big deal.
5 years in prison.
Yeah.
He could be facing right
now. I don't know what kind of priors he has, but he's got to hope for a good lawyer and a friendly judge. All right. The Cosby trial has been briefly halted, but let's talk about what's important. You have celebrity real estate. Let's go to the listings.
Steve... I don't just have one listing today. I've got multiple listings for you.
And
here.
Might I say you look great in your blazer.
You know what? Lemon yellow on a fat man looks fantastic. It's a very, very...
I'm looking over at Andrea Darlith. What a fistful of cash she's sporting today.
I never have cash on me, as you know, but...
Loaded. Now, don't tell her. Don't tell us yet.
All right.
Listing number one.
Listing number one is the Malibu home formerly owned by Carol O'Connor, Archie Bunker.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You could live in the house that Archie Bunker lived in.
Right. With echoes of Meathead. Actually, you ring the doorbell and it goes... Eat it!
Stifle.
Right.
It's a honey of a deal, Steve. It's going for only $9.3 million.
How big a house is it?
This is a four-bedroom home.
Does it smell like the 70s?
Beach. It's no, it's undergone a complete restoration.
Oh, it has. Okay.
So it smells like the 90s.
Got it.
But it's right on the beach, four bedrooms.
That sounds pretty nice.
Vibrant courtyard.
Sounds pretty nice.
You don't want a boring courtyard. This is a vibrant one.
Okay.
It's got a Tesla charging station and solar energy stations.
Yeah, that's definitely just, not Archie Bunker's house.
That is just one of the deals I've got for
all
you.
All right. We don't know what one we're going to place our offer on, so what's the other one?
Yeah, well, one of the other ones that I've got is Donald Trump's first mansion.
All right, I'm not buying that.
This is the 5.8 acre home in Greenwich, Connecticut.
Okay,
Is going.
I'll give you a dollar.
It's got gold. It's got a lot of gold leaf.
Elegant, oh, does it? What a shot!
Elegant chandeliers and crown moldings. This is the house that he lived in when he was married to Ivana Trump
mm-hmm.
in 1991.
Ivana, different house.
4,000 yeah. square feet. We're going to pass on that one?
Yeah, not interested. Next.
Next I have the childhood home of Robert E. Lee.
As in General Lee?
Oh, generally?
Confederate General Robert E. Lee.
All right, so let's just
Isn't
review.
Funny?
Let's just review what he's offering here. He's offering a TV bigot, Donald Trump, or the one of the great racists of all time. These are his three listings today. What's happened to your real estate business?
This is, hey, you know what? I serve everybody, Steve.
Wait, you said a TV bigot. I'm sorry, which
Archie
one?
Archie Bunker.
That'd be Bunker.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay, I was just
well,
confused.
It's fair. It's a fair
yeah.
question.
Yeah.
Six-bedroom brick home. It was built in 1795 and home to the Lee family for 80 years.
A slave sold separately?
This was also the site of the Stonewall Jackson Museum.
Of course it was.
From 1967 yeah. to 2000.
Of course, the day I have cash, these are the options.
Well, let's go for Archie Bunker's house.
All right.
All right, so what's the asking price?
9.3.
That's
9.3.
A lot.
I got $26.
I have 63 today.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's a record for you.
I know. It's the most
89. Andy, what do you got?
82.
82?
Mm-hmm.
100 and what did I say? 80? 69 and 8?
I have at least 18 singles.
We have $1 million, Dean, but that's yes. all we have.
I think you may have just bought yourself a home, my friend.
Yes.
All right. I can't wait to sublet it. Thank you, Real Estate Dean.
Wait a minute. I think I'm getting a call from David Duke. Hold on one second.
Back in the headlines next. Dean sponsored by a brand new Smile Dental Implant Center. More in a moment.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Under budget, ahead of schedule.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Where essentially I'm the president.
On Chicago's very own.
I love Chicago. I know Chicago.
720 WGN.
It is 8:42. President Trump called and then he hung up. Well, maybe he'll call back. Paul Ryan scheduled to speak at a press conference. He supposedly is addressing members of the House Leadership Committee right now behind closed doors. And then we'll speak to the media at 9 o'clock our time and discussing why he has decided not to run again. I'll tell you, Pat Brady predicted this months ago and said, yeah, he's not going to run. He's not going to run. I said, what, are you crazy? Of course he's going to run. And then we couldn't find him for a long time. Now, if we could just get Mitch McConnell not to run, maybe the Republican Party can save themselves. But Paul Ryan from just over the border will not be running for re-election. What he plans to do now with his life? He's young. He can do that thing. Remember that thing he does where he catches fish with his bare hands? Remember that came out when he was the vice president, presidential candidate for Mitt Romney?
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what it's called. There's a name for it. But he catches fish with his bare hands.
Oh, yeah. What's the term?
It's quite a visual.
Yeah.
And he can also focus on his, what is it, the X90 fitness program that he does, the washboard ab thing.
Yeah.
He could solve the Asian carp problem.
Right.
And be in great shape while he's doing it.
Yeah.
Are you talking about spearing fish? Is that
No,
it?
It's so not spearing. It's a bare-handed thing. There's a name for it where he slams his hands into the water and grabs fishies.
Hmm.
And it's not goldfish, Steve. It's like big fishies.
So like carp and stuff, like big, like
it's like
bass.
Big old fishies. Oh, president's back. Oh, it's noodling. That's it. It's noodling. It's called noodling.
Snoodling.
Snoodling? No, I think it's noodling.
Noodling.
Noodling. Yeah, I think it's noodling. N-O-O-D-L-I-N-G. Noodling. So
I'm Googling it.
It's not like noodles and company.
No.
No. Noodling. noodling. Hey, breaking news with this Paul Ryan thing, and now the president's on the phone. Mr. President, good morning. You have any thoughts on the Paul Ryan story?
Well, let's make this quick, Steve. You know, Fox and Friends is on. I wish Speaker Ryan all the best. I heard the news. You know, obviously he had some things to consider, although I can't relate to him wanting to spend more time with his family. I mean, why do you think I build golf courses for a living? But in all fairness, you know, Paul Ryan's a good-looking guy. Yeah. He works out almost as much as me and probably would make a hell of a bellboy at one of my hotels.
That is a fair point. That's
and
something.
Frankly, it'd be a lot easier if he would change a couple laws so I could be Speaker of the House and President. You know, we'd definitely make the two branches great again. That I can tell you.
The executive and the legislative branches great again. Boy, imagine how the hat would change.
Why not?
Well, nice to talk to you, Mr. President, but I imagine Monday was difficult for you. FBI raids the home and office of your personal attorney and friend, Michael Cohen. Were you shocked?
Of course I was. You know, it was disgraceful. You know, look, Mueller really went way too far this time. Way too far. This is a total invasion of my attorney-client privileges. I mean, frankly, they totally habeas'd Michael Cohen's corpus. Okay? Believe me.
Right.
But he's a tough guy, and he's going to fight this. He's going to fight this. I'm talking Rosie O'Donnell fighting for the last baby back rib fight.
Oh, sure. Now I know what you're talking about. Now, what did they find? I'd love it if you would just give it all up. You probably won't tell me everything, but what might they find?
Well, on the advice of my lawyer's lawyer's lawyer, I can't really reveal too much, but I know they were seeking evidence of my connection to Stormy Daniels, and good luck with that, because there is none. There is none. I mean, other than a couple autographed sets of bras and panties, there's nothing that proves we watched Shark Week together in room 285 of my Lake Tahoe hotel room at 8 p.m. on July 20th of 2006, allegedly.
Exactly. You mentioned Robert Mueller. The White House says you have the power to fire him if you want to. Other reports say you might fire Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein first, but who's going to get fired first, sir?
You expect me to say the answer to that on live radio?
Yes,
you
of know, course I
that's,
do.
That's top secret classified information, Cochran. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that I only share that with the people in an open-air main dining room at Mar-a-Lago. Then I tweet it out to 50 million of my closest supporters. Look, as a producer of reality TV, I know about pacing, okay? I know about pacing. Mueller doesn't. Now, if he has the FBI raid, let's say, Trump Tower, or he indicts, I don't know, Don Jr. or somebody way too soon, he's going to lose half his audience. If he had any idea how to keep America begging for more, he'd indict somebody like Vince Neil or Gary Busey first. But Mueller's an amateur. Very sad.
I like the Busey idea. But I do hear what you're saying.
And, you know, people get so touchy with rumors that are flying. You know, you're thinking about firing somebody. Are you going to fire him? You know, I've thought about firing lots of people. My housekeeper, my lawyer, Tiffany and Eric Trump.
Wait.
I mean, look, I like them both, but Eric is like a dumber, more cross-eyed Don Jr. And Tiffany's never going to beat Ivanka's legs. I mean, let's be honest. So why keep all four on the payroll?
Well, it is business. Let me switch topics. You had one of the Jimmy Kimmel monologues recently that was making fun of Melania's Slovenian accent. Was she upset?
Very upset. You know, I'm glad you asked about that. It nearly maxed out the Tiffany's card she had after she found out about it. Mm-hmm. Not only that, her aide told my aide that one of the White House butlers saw her trying to cry through all the Botox injections. Very sad. Shame on Jimmy. Now, if we're going to criticize the way people talk, can I just say that guy that calls up your show periodically and pretends to be me? Totally pathetic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Almost as bad as Alec Baldwin.
Right.
And that's saying a lot.
Right.
The guy who does the Mike Pence impression, too. Wow. That's a stretch. Have you heard that, Mike? Yeah, they got the guy on the radio that sounds nothing like you.
It's very unbecoming and shameful, sir. A hurtful insult. Even Mother said so.
Well, I'm sorry you were subjected to that, Mike. You know, a man in your position should never be taken advantage of.
It will never change my devotion to you, sir.
Go get me some Tic Tacs and a Diet Coke for when I'm done with the Tic Tacs.
The pleasure's always mine, sir.
Now that's what I call a solid VP, Cochran. Solid.
Oh, he's a good guy. Mr. President, did you watch any of the coverage of CEO Zuckerberg's testimony to Congress yesterday from Facebook?
I caught some of it. You know, I'm buried in my DVR right now. I got to catch up on Roseanne. But look, Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook are hiding a lot of things. Lots of things. Like how they extract this third-party data. They hide that better than I had my bald spot.
Mm.
All I could say is it feels great knowing that a guy worth $63 billion had a far worse day than I did yesterday. You know, when you see that guy wearing a suit, you know he knows he screwed up bigly.
Now, over the weekend, you finally called out Vladimir Putin by name because of that horrible, horrible Syrian attack.
Tragedy.
Do you think this is going to shut people up who say you won't call Putin out in public?
Look, first of all, I know I'm never going to get any credit for this, but I was very, very brave when I tweeted on the toilet about how incredibly wrong it was for Vladdy to have launched this attack, allegedly. But Putin is a very hard man to go up against. I mean, have you seen that picture of him shirtless swimming with the dolphin? The man looks like an insane Bond villain.
It's hot. Really does. Yeah. Well, listen, I don't mean to cut you off, sir, but actually I have to run. Thank you for calling.
Hey, if you have any more questions, I'll be getting my taxes ready, which means I'll be golfing with my accountant.
Okay, well, you know what? We actually use the same excuse.
Say, 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 hey, now, baby.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, mama, don't play now, baby.
On 720 WGN.
Say, 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 hey, hey, now, baby.
Anybody watch the Elton John thing last night?
Did not.
Tribute to Elton John. With a bunch of folks coming out and singing Elton John songs that you might not expect. You know what was really good was Little Big Town. Little Big Town did an Elton John song.
Hold Me Closer, and, Tony Danza?
It wasn't Tony Danza, but they're great. The other thing we're hitting this morning with pretty much a lot of detail was a story yesterday broke that woman in Minnesota, well, woman, a kid, took a road test by immediately putting a car in drive instead of reverse and drove into the lobby of the driver's ed facility or the driver's the DMV there. And by the way, you don't need to text me and tell me it's not called a DMV here. I live here. I know it's called the Jesse White Secretary of State offices.
Right, right.
For the ease of communication, yes. I'm trying to explain it's a DMV around the country.
Mm-hmm. We get it.
Somebody texted in helpfully, though, just a moment ago, that Little Big Town did Rocket Man.
Ah, there you go.
And he loved it. Elton John was going nuts. Of course, it was last night, in case you didn't see it.
What channel was that on? I missed
CBS.
It.
CBS.
Bombed.
I think it was CBS.
Really?
Does it matter anymore? You know what I mean? Does it matter what channel it's on?
I guess not, because you can find it anywhere.
There's no structure. There's no order. Mm-hmm.
Everything
you can watch
online.
It anytime you want, any place mm-hmm. you want.
You binge it.
I saw a great picture the other day. It was a kid, maybe 16, 17 years old, on a big comfortable couch, watching something on his phone. You know what was right in front of him?
What?
A 75-inch TV.
Yeah.
With the same thing on.
Uh-huh.
And he's watching it on his phone. Genius. A few more textures on how you failed your driver's test. 224. Not the same, Steve, but I'm 27. I've had my license for more than 10 years. Oh, last year I backed through my parents' garage door.
Oh. I think everyone has a story of something stupid they've done with their car.
Well, you get in, especially if you live in the burbs, right? Or you have a garage in the city even. You get into a mindset where habitually you back up in a particular way and you expect things to be where they are.
Mm-hmm.
But one of those days, somebody's at your house and they park kind of too close. And if you're not paying attention, you're calling Allstate.
Yeah.
So it happened to me. I park in an alley. A garage in an alley. Yeah, and you have to do the three-point turn. The only way to get in is to back in. And there was a moving truck right by my garage.
Oh, fantastic.
I figured, I'm going to try going in head first this time.
Fantastic.
Yeah, the whole right side of the car. Gone.
Oh.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. That was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
This is a nice story. 815. Our driver's ed teacher took us to his mistress's house, and we had to wait in the car.
What?
You kids
booty
stay
call.
Out here.
Booty call.
I'm going in to see Stormy. 815, Steve, I learned how to drive a stick shift in a cornfield with my dad. Most farm kids did that.
Oh, yeah.
So you have an old beater farm car, and you're out driving in the cornfield?
Now, do you know how to drive stick shift?
Mm-hmm.
I do not.
Me too.
I
drove a tractor before I drove a car.
You still drive a tractor. That's how Steve gets to work.
I have a John Deere. It's hard to get in the garage sometimes, but I get in there.
Yeah.
They're fun. I used to drive a Chevette in...
A Chevette in a farm field?
Yeah. No. Stick shift.
Oh, okay. A Chevette with a stick shift. Doesn't that seem kind of pointless?
Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous.
I thought Chevettes ran on rubber bands.
I don't know. I felt like Fred Flintstone driving that thing because it was so low to the ground.
The fine people at Chevy gave me a Corvette to drive a few years ago for like 2 weeks.
See, that'd be my dream car.
6-speed Corvette.
Ooh.
In traffic.
Oh, in traffic.
Oh.
my clutch leg, my right thigh, was 9 times the size of my left thigh.
Oh, God.
Did you open that baby up to, what, 20 miles an hour?
Yeah, exactly.
Just Cochran on the open road.
This morning it was 4 miles an hour. 773. I drove so much with my dad on country roads as a kid, by the time I took my test, the instructor turned to me and said, "How long you been driving?"
Mm-hmm.
847. There's apps that log all practice driving, and copy automatically appears on the parents' iPhones. That's cute how you think the parents are paying attention. 6-3, I took my driver's test in a snowstorm, drove around the block, all side streets, parked and passed.
Well, that's good.
And on my first test on Long Island, I backed into a tree doing my U-turn. In New York State, we used to have to do a K-turn.
Oh, okay. Is that like a 3-point turn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Left, back, right, back, and then you angle up.
Yeah.
And then this, 312, my driver's ed car hit the car next to it, pulling out of the driver's ed facility right after the kid got his license.
Oh.
Nice. You know, this conversation has made me think, in the future, if we are moving to driverless cars, are we just never going to have driver's ed ever again? Is that what's going to happen?
We're not moving to driverless cars. I'm personally putting a stop to it. Ozzy Osbourne would like it. Sharon!
Right.
Trump's latest tweet, Speaker Paul Ryan is a truly good man. While he will not be seeking re-election, he will leave a legacy of achievement that nobody can question. We are with you, Paul.
Well, that was a very nice tweet. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
No names.
Hold on. Wait, he didn't call him a name? Are you sure?
Yeah.
It almost doesn't sound like Trump.
Hold on. Come on.
Anybody can be nominated for the speakership.
Yes.
Including... By the way, people that aren't in the House of Representatives, did you know that? You could say Judge Judy or Jeanine Pirro from Fox.
Oh,
so this could get interesting. It's 9 o'clock. Hi to everybody on CLTV. And we continue with Andy Mazur in for Dave. And a full 9 o'clock hour still to come. We've got a couple of folks from The Sound of Music coming in.
Yeah.
The hills are alive. It's 9 o'clock. Back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
So long, farewell, our readers, and good night.
I hate to go and leave this pretty sight.
Maybe Paul Ryan could become a member of the cast of Sound of Music. He's a good-looking guy. I don't know if he can sing.
This could be his song. This is his
song. It totally works. He's walking into his press conference now. They can sing so long. Sound of Music, very limited run. Just through Sunday, Broadway in Chicago's Cadillac Palace Theater. Get your tickets. There's a handful of seats left for the remaining shows. That's a classic.
Oh, my God.
Classic.
This is the best ever.
It's a classic. And we have two of the stars here. We're in the original, and they have aged so beautifully.
Thank you. Thank you.
especially you, Melissa.
Oh.
Melissa McCamey plays Elsa, and Jake Mills plays Max. How are you guys?
Doing great. Well. How you guys doing?
And you opened last night?
We did.
To a great audience.
Yeah. You look wide awake.
Am I?
Yeah.
Am I awake?
Yeah, you do. Normally, theater folks will get up at, what, crack of one or two?
I think you're pushing it there, but yeah.
Yeah.
And was there a party last night, too?
Okay, no, not.
Oh, okay,
no.
Good.
Well, we had press, so if there was, we ran away from it as soon as we could.
Yeah.
Well, it's a beautiful theater, as you now know.
Oh, I love the Cadillac Palace.
Yeah. Acoustics are tremendous.
They are. Soundcheck was wonderful yesterday. Sometimes it's like a cavern, but it's really warm.
And we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but where do you go? How many cities?
We head to Georgia next.
Georgia's next.
This is our 63rd city.
Oh my God.
Is that right? Is that where we were on the list?
Counted. Yeah.
How about that?
I know it. I don't know what the total.
Yeah, I have no idea what the total is, but we have about 2 more months of the tour. We've been out since September.
How's the cast getting along?
Great still, great. Actually.
Seriously?
Yeah, for the most part.
Seriously?
Gretel's the worst.
It's a big cast, too.
It really is. Yeah, we travel with over 60 people, wow, including parents, crew, pit, and cast.
Wow. What's your off day?
Typically, Mondays are the travel day.
And you just want to get away from each other? And not you two, but I mean away from each other?
No, we hang out the whole time and tell everyone else to go somewhere else.
But do you get to explore the cities a little bit?
Yeah, we do. I had Chicago deep dish pizza the first night we were here.
A lot of people think that's a rule. You don't technically have to. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Texas and Oklahoma.
So where in Texas?
In outside of Dallas, in Arlington.
Yeah, not known for their deep dish pizza.
No, not at all.
In the Metroplex.
No.
In Oklahoma as well?
Yes. Outside of Oklahoma City, a small town called Yukon.
So. Where's the accent?
It went away in an acting class.
But when you go home, do you start yelling it up immediately?
Oh, yeah. It comes out when I get angry.
When you get angry.
When you get angry.
I hear it all the time.
What about you, Jake? Where'd you grow up?
Mostly in Virginia, just south of D.C. My dad was in the military. And so he worked at the Pentagon, but so I've lived a lot of places. But now I hail in New York City.
Yeah, well, they know it's a good place to work because for what you guys do.
Yeah.
So, Jake, tell me, when you got started as a kid, because parents love to hear this stuff, how old were you when you really decided this is going to be my life?
I'm pretty sure I was around 8 years old.
Most kids by eight have it figured out.
Yes, exactly. I got away from it for a little bit. I did football in high school, and theater wasn't cool, but then I got back to it because I wasn't that good at football. My dad actually was pretty influential. He did theater in high school, and so he took my sister and I to a community theater when we were in Oklahoma.
This is the exact different story, right?
Right,
went to play football, but my dad was big in theater,
right?
So he drew me back to theater.
Yeah, always the dad.
It's going to be such a good book when you
write
it.
If I could have done it all, I'm sure he would have loved it, but I couldn't. We did Fiddler on the Roof. That was what we did the first time. And then the next year we did Music Man, and I was pretty much hooked.
And what was your break?
My big break, let's see.
Or even a medium-sized break.
In college, I actually worked at Virginia Opera for a while, which was pretty cool. But then I guess one of my bigger things was I was actually here on the Annie tour.
Okay.
Year one.
By the way, with his beard, to be able to play Annie,
hey,
I thought it was a Danny Warbucks.
No, I was actually Sandy.
Very impressive.
Sandy.
Very, very impressive.
Yeah.
So. But you need to have and you can speak to this, Melissa. You need to have a mentor. You need to have somebody who's established, somebody who encourages you, somebody who recognizes that you have a gift. Who was that for you?
Absolutely. I had several growing up, but the most influential teacher I had was I went to school at Oklahoma City University and studied with Florence Birdwell, who is a legend in the musical theater community. And she was just incredible. Taught me everything I know about being vulnerable on stage. And
are you a better singer or an actor?
I think I'm
well,
equal.
That's important then.
Yeah.
Same for you, Jake?
Best dancer. That's really what I am. I'm just...
He really is a white guy.
Choreographer.
It seems odd.
I dance on point.
You have, arguably one of the most renowned songs in Sound of Music with 16 Going on 17. That's one of your songs, right, that you sing?
No, actually, no. I play Elsa Schrader, who is the duo to Max Detweiler here, and we sing How Can Love Survive?
That's it, yeah.
And No Way to Stop It, which are actually not
very
in
sweet.
The movie that everybody,
very sweet.
Everyone knows.
I guess when you see people coming and they're singing these iconic songs, you like that as performers on the stage? You want them to join in, or is that distracting?
No, it's not distracting at all. It's one of those things that's...
I don't think there's another show like this where people jump in, right?
Yeah. It's very special to know that the audience is with you in that aspect. You know, that that's not every show. That's not, you know, Something Rotten. Nobody really knows those songs yet, you know?
How about if they yell Freebird out from the back? Is that distracting?
I mean, if the band knows it, I guess I could do my best.
Right. Had you both seen the movie?
Oh, yes.
I actually only saw it once I got the part.
That's what I was wondering, right?
Really?
I didn't really grow up with this. Real experience with this was my grandmother would actually sing the songs from the show when I was a kid, but I didn't really know what they were from, so she would sing My Favorite Things a lot of times. But I never saw the movie until I got the part. I was like, all right, so who is Max? I got to figure out this. And he's not really in the movie much, so it didn't really help. Which is good, because I could just do interpretation.
But you have one of the most iconic lines.
It's right.
The Von Trapp. The Von Trapp family.
Right.
The family Von Trapp.
Every which way.
Yeah.
So how long for both of you? How long have you been doing this?
The show?
The biz.
The biz. Oh man.
And people won't do the math. So you can
1970. No, I'm just kidding. I've been doing it since. So college was my first real professional gig. So I've been doing that since 2006.
Mm. Oh, so just over 10 years.
Yeah.
And I was around 14 when I started.
When did you first get paid, Act?
I was 18 when I first got paid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good gig for you.
My nieces, Nina and Claire, both are wonderful, and I'm not biased at all. But what do you say to kids? Or, I guess, more appropriately, since they're in school now, parents of kids. Don't be the stage mom or dad, but encourage in the right way. What is the right way?
I think, I mean, I just always encourage kids to just keep being creative. That's really where I go. And I don't really support parents who like to stifle creativity. So I think what it is, it's about nurturing that creativity. If your kid is going to, you know, mess up or something, let them mess up, let them learn. And that's kind of what my parents did. And I messed up a lot and I learned a lot. And
the interesting thing about theater, my son was a theater major. And the interesting thing about theater is, unlike sports, most parents can't go, well, here's how you sing. Here's how you dance. Right. So you need to get professional leadership and training right away.
Absolutely.
It gets more and more expensive. Some families can't do it, right?
It's true, yeah. But there are definitely after-school programs. I actually have a friend here in Chicago who works with an after-school program, and she's bringing 60 kids and parents to Thursday's show.
How great is that?
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. I got to find a way to get them all backstage. Still working on that.
Maybe you come out afterwards to see that.
I figured it might just have to be.
Look how you figured out their problem.
I know, right?
Look how you figured that out right away.
I didn't keep you around.
It's crazy. Sound of Music, again, very limited engagement at the Broadway Chicago Cadillac Palace Theater only through Sunday. And look at it this way. Tax day's Tuesday. Mm-hmm. You've been embezzling. You're definitely going to be audited. So have one last good time before you're taken off to jail by experiencing the Sound of Music.
Like when we sell that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah. And get those tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com. That's the easiest way to go. We're from here for both of you. I mean, you're getting near the end of this tour.
Yeah.
I know. So, I have a couple offers, but nothing.
I'm going to be working upstate in New York for the summer.
Where upstate?
It's Auburn, New York.
Yeah, I grew up in Ithaca.
Oh, okay.
Not far from there.
Great. Yeah, I'm going to work
same
there.
Lake, Cayuga Lake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I worked there last summer, and it's a wonderful theater, and it's a wonderful place. And
Steve, he can hire you for some summer work.
Yeah, let me know.
Right, right. Yeah, I can work with you. Yeah.
Okay, great.
I have one opening. And this two-offer thing, do you have to decide?
I do have to decide.
It's a good problem to have.
It is.
And the ultimate goal is stay on Broadway, or you want to do TV and films and all those things, or we'll see.
I'm interested in that, but I love theater. That's where my
heart
is.
Instant feedback, right?
Yeah, I like instant gratification.
Right, the egomaniac that you are.
Yes, you can tell.
It's great to meet both of you, and I think you're great spokespeople for this. It's not easy to take on a classic and put your own spin on it, but I'm told it's as wonderful as last night apparently was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. We have a blast, so thank you so much.
Thanks for being here. Sound of Music, it's Melissa McCamey. She plays Elsa, and Jake Mills plays Max. And if you get to the Tribune Lobby quickly, they're going to do the entire soundtrack as they leave. So that'll be fun. BroadwayInChicago.com.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
925. This started just as a little throwaway story this morning, and it's amazing how many people failed their road test spectacularly. But a kid in Minnesota drove her car into the DMV facility. That's how her road test went. Failed, by the way, failed. Steve is in Joliet. Steve, how'd you fail?
Actually, I didn't fail. I was fortunate enough to, I was 16 year old, and I was trying to get my driver's license the day of my birthday, which I accomplished, and I was hoping to solo an airplane the same day, but the weather didn't cooperate, so I soloed about 3 weeks later. So,
what if you got confused?
I guess I had it figured out. My story is that I was the youngest of four boys. So I figured my family felt, my mom and dad figured it, but they lost one. It was no big deal.
That's the old farm family story. The reason farm families have 10 is there's a lot of machinery to operate. Eventually, you're going to lose one or two of them. Thanks, man. I appreciate the phone call. Sandra, you haven't told us your road test story.
I know. I also got my license on my birthday.
I wonder
January 15th.
I wonder if we could possibly get the true story and the actual factual story as your dad, Dick, joins us. Good morning, my friend.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
Now, I know how partial you are to your girls, and they're both great, and everything's fantastic. Tell me the truth. Was she a good driver?
She was an outstanding driver, actually.
There you go, Dad. I knew it.
Seriously, her sister Katie, no. But Mary, definitely a very natural driver. In fact, if I had my way, she would have been driving at 14. So,
Did you take her out to drive at the school, or where'd you teach her?
Started out up in the north woods of Wisconsin. I think the first time she was probably 13, 14.
We started driving early.
So did you go to the north woods of Wisconsin because he didn't have any confidence in you until he found out you could drive? Let's get as far away from the city as we can.
It's where Mary vacations, but that's where my dad learned to drive. Oh. So I think
my kids did too.
Yeah,
that's where we taught them.
Well, why the North Woods? I mean,
not
I know you're up there vacation.
Around. You got to watch out for deer, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you hit a deer, that's how you learn.
Outside of a random deer, there really wasn't any traffic, so it was safe.
I don't, Dick. I don't know about you. I don't remember when I was a kid ever having practice time. You got your learner's permit. And then you drove for a couple of weeks, and then you took the test. Wonder why I failed the first time. Was it different here?
No, it was pretty much the same in Chicago. However, because my father was very enlightened in the driving world, he started me at 11 up in the North Woods.
So 11?
So I was very, I was chomping at the bit by the time I was 16.
And now you can't get kids to take the road test at 16.
Mm-mm.
16-year-old kids are going, well, why do I need a license? Mom will drive, Dad will
My
drive.
Sister didn't want to take it because she liked doing homework in the car. And so...
She couldn't do homework and drive.
And drive, yeah.
It was
so
such a big
she
deal.
She was forced, yeah.
Back in the day, though, to get your license.
I wanted it on my birthday on January 15th. And so my dad was taking me before school to go.
Yeah, that was like the thing to do.
And Daddy...
And it was snowing, and they were very much on the verge of closing the facility. But
somebody may have been very upset and crying because they wanted their license, and they were having a good hair day for a photo.
Dick, you shouldn't have cried.
Dick was crying because he realized if I can't get this test done for this kid today, I'm going to have to deal with her
all day long.
So, did you actually take the test?
They sent me out.
She did.
On that day, and you passed.
I did, but they told my dad when I was out that she's not going to pass. It was really snowing badly.
Why were you so desperate to take your license? You had to be that day just because you were mentally prepared?
I was my birth. It's the only thing I wanted to do was get my license.
Yeah. So it says on your birthday issued, your birth date. And
but,
then,
but you were obviously confident you were going to pass. You weren't worried about the snow?
Oh, no, I wasn't worried. As Dick said, I've been driving for a couple of years, so I was ready. I may have taken a car out when people weren't home.
And don't forget she was having a good hair.
The good hair day, right? That's perfect. Yeah, of course. Thanks. And by the way, Dick, don't go anywhere because the police are coming over since you started driving at 11. Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. I still don't know that he's your father.
He is my dad.
He's such a laid-back, cool guy.
I know.
I haven't spent enough time with your mom. Is your mom wired?
She can be wired. She has cooled down with age, but she's...
Dick just seems like as cool as a sunshine on a summer day.
Who were you more afraid of?
Afraid of?
Yes.
My mom.
Your mom.
Oh, yeah. She's... you don't mess with her.
Yeah, no, me too.
I got to spend more time with your mom.
And as we got older, sometimes she would complain to my dad, and she'd call you she, and you knew she was really mad at you when she...
Didn't you get middle named?
No, she's not a Mary Heather. No, she was she. You just got a pronoun, which was worse. It was like we had no emotional tie to each other. I was just this other person causing difficulty.
My mom hated the she too, but she would hate it when my dad would say she, and she would say she is a name.
Yeah.
How about this move? Your daughter did this. Your daughter did that, but it's in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
So you realize you've been disowned, at least for the moment.
Most people that know my mom, though, just think she's a sweet, quiet...
She seemed very sweet.
Yeah, she
the
is.
Few times
she's
I've
like
seen.
Snow White, but she can be, like if she orders something at a restaurant and then it's not good, she gets mad at my dad, even though he had nothing to do with it.
it's probably his fault.
And she'll say, "You should have known. I wouldn't have wanted this."
How could you have done this to me? Andy, did you get middle named when you were growing up?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I heard Andrew Jeffrey, I was in deep, deep doo-doo.
Yeah. My name's Stephen Lee. So they either sounded like a Southern gentleman or a serial killer.
Oh, my God. I wouldn't get middle name, but my mom would say, "Do you want to go in the other room and have a talk?" And I go, "No."
No. No one does.
You go in the other room.
You go in the other room and talk to yourself.
Right? I'll meet you there.
No.
My parents are more, my mom's a swearer, so you may have gotten a GD, Mary.
Day, Mary.
Yeah.
I was gotten called every other name in the house since there were so many of us. My mom,
yeah, you had like 47 siblings.
Like, Susie, Kathy, Donna, Jane, Mary.
She couldn't remember who she was mad at.
It was pretty good.
Oh, that's nice. 9:41, Rokan joins us. Hello, Rokan.
Hello, Steve Cochran.
How are you?
Oh, I couldn't be better.
Saw you on TV yesterday. Was that taped or was that live?
The television yesterday would have been taped. Hmm. Today it will be live.
What day are you on Windy City Live?
I have no idea. It is, it's one of those circumstances where I'm supposed to be on Mondays and Wednesdays, but we have a lot of things going on. You know, Channel 7 is the home to Cubs baseball.
I'm not familiar with Cubs baseball.
And, well, there's another team in Chicago. They were blue, and they're on the, I don't know, north side, something like that. Mm. And so they're on there. And so we don't know. It's not the similar situation that we have on the radio at the moment, where you just never know when they're going to want to play.
Yeah, so you could be on. Maybe you're not on.
Yeah, so that's...
I just saw you were having a great hair day. I couldn't... I didn't really have the sound up. I don't know if you were entertaining, but you had a great hair day.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That's what I do.
And I had lunch with your friend and mine, Anna DeVlantis, and our mutual friend Laura Caldwell, the great author, Laura Caldwell.
Oh, right.
Author, Laura. And we talked about you behind your back for a while, mm-hmm. but other than that, it was a slow day.
Yeah. By the way, that goes on a lot. I've noticed that I'll tell you, Steve, I'm not above talking about myself behind my back.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Seems like you give yourself a headache. How are things on the Rokan show?
They're very, very well.
Yeah.
They're very well. You know what? But the thing is that if it weren't for you, I wouldn't have the Rokan show because half the people on the show,
right.
more than half the people on the
right,
show,
right.
were delivered by you. So that's
how are your negotiations going with Andrea? I'm just curious.
Tougher than I expected.
Wait, see you what? Lunch, hon.
Yeah, okay.
Yellow. All right. So the news of the morning is Russia and the United States are taunting each other. And by that, I mean Putin. And the Trumpster are taunting each other. So by the time you get on Air 3, maybe World War 3, it's possible.
Well, I have to say that I'm not happy about what I'm seeing here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that everybody should step back for just a moment and think about what it is that we just saw this morning when we woke up to the president's Twitter feed. You know, he's spent a lot of time criticizing Barack Obama, and I think with some justification that Barack Obama was a little bit too, I'm going to draw a line in the sand here. Don't you cross this line, kind of moment.
They made a lot of mistakes, no doubt.
Right. And there are other things. I mean, you definitely want to warn people. I know that like in Aleppo and other places, they want to be very careful about letting people know, listen, we're coming in. So if you're civilians, get out while you can.
I think you and I both know that thought didn't cross the president's mind prior to hitting send.
Exactly my point. This is not what this is about. This is about mine are bigger and smarter than yours.
Yep.
And look out, and here we come. And I just think that this level of taunting is not going to. I think the Russians are going to go, oh, this right, comrade. You know what we do? We do a bad thing. We're leaving. You know what?
Right.
We hand him over to World Court. Goodbye.
It's like Boris, Natasha, bring me Flying Squirrel.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. So it's depending on what we do. I mean, if they retaliate and they hit a missile frigate as retaliation. And do great damage to one of our naval vessels.
If we have a shooting war with Russia, that's a huge problem. Now, I can't imagine Vladimir Putin, who is crazy, but he's not dumb, making that kind of a mistake. But there's a lot of bluster going on now.
Yeah.
I can't, you know what I can't figure out? I can't figure out why suddenly Trump is willing to talk negatively about Russia. And the two things he said about Putin aren't crazy, but it's the first two things he's ever said negatively about Putin, and they were both this week.
Well, I think he realizes somebody finally got to him. I'm going to guess it's Melania. And it is a little creepy that you keep saying nice things about this guy, and he's doing all these terrible things around the world, and you're the only person on the planet saying nice things about him. It makes you look guilty. And so I think he's finally gotten to the point.
So you think it's the first time Melania has spoken to him since last year at the inauguration?
Perhaps. Yeah. Right. Well, my favorite image of the entire 2018 was Melania, the president, and the bunny rabbit. On the portico on the balcony.
I am torn. That's great for this year. Last year was when he looked up at the eclipse with no sunglasses on.
That's true.
Those two. By the way, both the same balcony.
The best of 2017. They shouldn't let him out of that balcony because even the rabbit himself looked confused. The rabbit looked like he was a hostage, and you know, and it's like, and it's a costume. So like the costume maker of that Easter Bunny probably didn't think, oh, surprised, scared, and you know, trying to blink his way into like, don't worry, I'm not with them. I'm just holding up this newspaper.
Look, imagine, if you will, that your job is the bunny, and you're inside the bunny costume.
Some Sean Spicer.
And you really, right, and you realize what's going on, and you go, isn't it enough that nobody's cleaned this thing? Now I got to be out here. Now I got to be standing here. I mean, look, it's a tough gig.
And hop around.
Yeah, well, I don't. You know, my guess is that White House isn't very specific about those. They, you know, the bunny's there for the photo, and I get the hell out. You know, that's got the feeling that I got there. But getting back to the morning's big news, I mean, I do think that we'll have some sort of action. You know, he was scheduled, the president was scheduled to be in South America this week for this in America's meeting. And that is a big deal. Because especially given the fact that he's in a, you know, the potential for trade activity surrounding soybean farmers and pork farmers and stuff like that, South America is a considerably large, between Argentina and Brazil, they actually, Argentina and Brazil combined create farm more soybeans than the United States.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a huge deal. It's a huge deal for farmers listening here, obviously. You know what my favorite story of the morning is? And I mean this. Kim Jong-un. Are you familiar with Little Kim?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah.
Hey, that's Dennis Rodman's guy, right?
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah.
He's got an army that is legendary, an army that will fight to the death. I remember General David Grain sitting in the studio 100 times saying, we don't want a war with North Korea. Nobody wants a war with North Korea. Them people are crazy. He didn't say it that way, but I mean, he said this is an army you don't want to deal with. So here's what he's got. 1,300 aircraft, 4,300 tanks, 70 submarines, 5,500 rocket launchers, and allegedly now nukes that can get to us. You know what he doesn't have? He doesn't have an aircraft that could fly him to the United States for a summit. Not one plane in the whole of North Korea can fly an intercontinental passenger flight to bring Kim Jong-un to here for a summit.
And I don't think his
train... How great is that?
I don't think his train is going to get him very far either.
You see him calling Virgin Atlantic? Hey, could you swing by?
I think that is very entertaining. You know, he could do the whole, like, Lindbergh thing. You just get in, like, a, you know, Ford Trimotor or something and try to get across. I don't know. Lands in Japan.
He could,
yeah, I don't know. Are they going to do it here, though?
No. There's very little chance, but I'm still highly amused that he can't get here.
I mean, that would be a really weird moment if the Hair Club for Men had to meet in Pyongyang together.
Yeah.
I mean, would we send... I mean, I'm okay with it if anybody wants to go over there.
Right.
Go ahead. You want to do the negotiation? Go ahead. Sit there in Pyongyang. That's okay with me. But
it's a long way from Mar-a-Lago.
Yes, it is. Well, don't worry. He'll still get golf in. There's a way to do it.
So I know I would. Yeah, I would too. There's a running thread through the show this morning that started with a simple story of a young lady that failed a road test in a town called Buffalo, Minnesota, north of Minneapolis the other day by driving into the lobby of the DMV. and that's an automatic fail. Did you pass your road test?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I practiced. The only thing I did well in school was you know, get my driver's license. That was it.
I am literally the only one that failed my road test.
It's
me and this girl from Buffalo, Minnesota.
Yeah, but she failed it 13 times. You just failed it.
No, that's the Brit. There's a British B-level celebrity.
That's right.
Her name's Moffitt. Samantha Moffitt, maybe. But she's failed her road test 13 times.
So you just failed it once.
13 times.
I don't know. How could you fail your road test?
Oh. How did I fail?
Yeah. I mean, that's not easy to do.
Okay, again. It's a broken road crossing more of a main road. So the road, in other words, stops at the main road. It picks up on the other side, but it doesn't pick up in a direct line. Okay. So the stop line for this broken road was at a point where I thought I was supposed to stop at the second road, not the one on the left, which was the first road. So I blew through the stop sign. That's what it amounted to.
Oh, and you stood and you stopped in the intersection.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And after I was after I was hit by the other car, I thought, well, this is not going to help.
Young man, did you happen not to see the fact that, this is a road you are now incurring into an intersection? Did you not happen to see that, young man?
Well, if you remember the 70s, Ro, we had to wait to get our, in a lot of cases, unless you dramatically failed, mine wasn't so dramatic, you had to wait to get your results by mail.
That's a terribly long wait.
Kids' mail is something that shows up in a box outside your house.
Yeah. Yeah, No, they tell you right here in Chicago. I had a driver's ed guy. All right, so I'll tell this story. I had a driver's ed guy who our first guy quit the class. We got another guy who was like the replacement. That's how bad we were as a class. And what is it, four or six sessions or whatever it is in classes. So for the last two, we're in the driving test. And the guy takes us out on the expressway, and I lived downtown, and I was going to school downtown, and we got off at North Avenue, which now, it's nothing but Bed Bath & Beyond, right? But then it was a Procter & Gamble factory and hookers.
Mm-hmm.
And we got off at North Avenue and started heading east.
There's a factory that made hookers. You look confused on it.
Right, I do.
Yeah, it was a factory. There were all these call girls that would, stand up and down, waiting for the factory gates to open up and for the people to leave. Mm-hmm. And a shrimp shack. There were two. That was it.
That's still there.
You got to eat.
The shrimp shack is still there.
So we're driving east. I'm driving the car, and the driver's ed guy goes, pull over. I'm like, what? What? First of all, no one ever pulled over. This is the sort of thing when I was a kid that even, every adult drove through at 90 miles an hour.
Yeah, sure.
And I go, what? He goes, pull over to the right, curb the vehicle. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means, curb the vehicle. So pull over, and there's a hooker standing there in hot pink LeMay pants.
And he wanted to talk to her?
He did. Calls her over to the car. And he's like, how much, honey?
Come on!
I swear to God,
car,
in my car, and there was a guy in the back. I have a witness to this, who's now a prominent Chicago politician, who was in driver's ed with me, and so we're sitting there, and I'm like, oh no, oh God, we're going to get arrested, and how am I going to explain this to my parents?
Did you know it was a hooker? I mean, you weren't that naive. Oh, you knew it was a hooker.
Because
the reason I bring this up is there was a story earlier. Remember, I told you the story of the driver's ed guy who took the kids to his mistress's house told them to wait in the car.
Right.
Yes. No, I got it. I fully understood this. I was a fully functional 15 and a half year old. I knew what was going on. So she comes up, and then she says something that's sort of indecipherable because she's outside the car and she's kind of yelling at him. Mm-hmm. But it had the word it had two words that rhymed together. Mm-hmm. The one started with an S, and the other started with an F. Right. And I don't remember.
One was a mother.
And then a dollar amount that she threw out. Right. Now, you got to remember, there's this guy in the car who's got a steering wheel and brake on his side of the car, too. So it's sort of like London. And then there's me, who's looking scared like the bunny rabbit from the White House. And then there's this guy in the back seat. And she says this, and it was, and the thing that really got to me about it was she said, like, blank and blank for $20.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can tell you right now, we have got to the bottom of why Roe is Roe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Who was the prominent Chicago politician?
One day in
the car. I want to know that.
Well, I can say it is County Commissioner John Fritchie. He won't mind me telling this story.
Yeah. Oh.
So, because we were the victims in this. So she says
blah blah $20
like that, and then he goes too much. Drive on.
So that ended it.
That ended it.
The negotiation didn't go well.
Too much. Drive on.
What a sweet. Hey, what a sweet story of the Chicago School District.
You're entering traffic. Use your signal.
But you had to have passed at that point. You could use against the guy anytime you wanted.
Yeah. No. We got back. I mean, I'm still traumatized. I can't drive past that now, which I think is like a Jiffy Lube. Ironically enough, and I can't not think about that moment.
Well, her name's Vicky, and she's here. Let's bring her out right now. It's reunion time. RoCon this afternoon at 3. We're back after this on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Bill and Wendy are here, and we were just talking about the show. They're very busy preparing things,
And hey, I'd like to thank the Tribune Media Company for shutting down our email system at 8 a.m. this morning.
You're not gonna need your email at 8 a.m., Steve. What are you thinking?
They said it could continue to work if we would actually lick the computer screen and put it in a box and take it to the post office.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Seems archaic.
And they'll fix it.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine.
Ah.
It's going to be totally fine.
Can I close the business today?
No.
No,
it'll be fine. It'll be fine. What are you guys doing?
We are going to talk to Lisa Heffernan. She has this website called Grown and Flown, when your kids grow up and flee the nest, which mine I don't think will ever do.
Oh, they will. They will. That's tough day.
I don't know if I want them to.
That's a tough day. It really is. So the kids, when you turn into an empty nester, how to survive it?
And just what to talk to them about. Teen issues, a lot of things.
Well, that's an important topic. But here's the thing about anybody that becomes an empty nester. You look at your husband or your wife and you go, I got nothing. You?
Oh.
Because you've been talking really? About your kids for the entire time. You've talked
about
your kids.
Oh, that's not true, is
it? You've talked about your kids the entire time, and you got to relearn how to communicate.
It's true.
Did you ever
Right? Am I right, Mary?
You got it.
Terry and I did a thing after the girls were born where we would go out to dinner, the two of us, and we'd make an agreement that we were not going to mention the kids at all during dinner.
How'd that go?
It was good. It felt good to go.
Oh, you actually did it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Maureen and I tried that. Never worked.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're caring parents.
Yeah, we didn't care. Who's watching the girls? I don't know. I thought you put somebody in there.
Although
I didn't put anybody.
Terry did meet someone off the street to leave the kids with, didn't
she? Yeah, a couple times. We had people babysitting. We went out and we went, what's
what,
the babysitter's
hobos
name?
And drifters?
No, we lived right across the street from Northwestern University. So sometimes we'd see somebody and they'd go, well, cute kids. And they'd go, we'd say, what are you doing Saturday at 7? And then they'd babysit. And we were out one night and I said, what's the girl's name who's babysitting? And Terry said, I don't know. And I go, I don't know either.
Ro knows her. I think that's Ro's friend that he met when he was
really?
I can't imagine that ever would have turned out to be a problem.
And Dane Neal will be stopping by as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, okay. And one last texter said, left leg is the clutch, Steve.
Yes, I heard that earlier,
I said right leg, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, trust me. I failed my road test.
I can see why.